waiting for me?
Yeah, dude. You're the hello there guy.
I see him in my mind's eye. Kenobi. Kenobi!
They just changed the script on me, dude.
Come I have
on.
To.
I was like, you're the hello there guy. And you just hit me with the Darth Maul quote.
Well, that's what we're talking about today. Exclusively.
True. Exclusively. Only
that.
Only talking about those three episodes.
Only gonna talk about.
Yeah.
When I heard Maul was in Rebels, I was like, oh man, he's probably in a lot. He's in like five episodes max.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
Like five or six.
He's in like 3-1, and then he's like at the end.
I mean, we'll know for sure today.
Yeah, because we're going to talk about it.
Yeah,
so this is welcome back to Frauds Galaxy, a Star Wars podcast. I'm your local scruffy-looking nerf herder, Hunter. And as always, I'm joined by Jedi Master Alan.
Kenobi.
Jedi Master Kenobi. Oh. This week we got Rebels.
Yeah, the rest of it.
Yeah, 3 and 4.
What we didn't talk about.
Yeah, it's only been, what, 4 weeks? 5 weeks?
And for all of you who aren't aware, I haven't finished my rewatch yet.
But you've watched them already.
So. I have seen these episodes before.
At least twice.
A while ago, though.
Because you said...
Good time ago.
You said, I've seen these more than twice.
Yeah, I'm like, I've seen some of these, like, on several occasions. I don't know.
Besides, obviously, the Maul ones, because you like those.
Because I've seen those before, obviously.
Yeah.
I have seen these. I just haven't seen them in a long time. So some of this stuff, I might be like, oh, really? Okay. Plus, I don't really like paying attention to this show. It's one of those shows that's really hard at holding my attention.
Well, once you watch it for the first time, you don't really need to watch it again. I watched it, and I was like, I got everything I needed to know. I could have skipped 90% of these episodes.
I'm ready for the Ahsoka show.
I just need... You need the first episode. You need the first two. Then you need Ezra gets a sword. And then you need... Inquisitor dies.
Mm-hmm.
Kanan dies. Maul dies.
I think as long as you know just kind of what the deal is with these characters, that's all that's really important.
Because all they do is go back to fucking Lothal.
Who hasn't seen the Rebels show but wants to watch the Ahsoka show, you have to watch the Rebels show.
At least a little bit.
Yeah. At least
watch the
some
first...
of season one, the end of season two. Like, some of season 3 and the last episode in season 4.
Yeah, because Thrawn just shows up at the beginning of season 3 like, I'm here now.
He's like, guess what?
Like a rank.
I'm the bad guy. Yeah. Because they didn't want to let us use Darth Vader anymore. He has left the show, even though there were, like, totally 2 Jedi the last time he was here. He doesn't care anymore, and they're for me.
I don't know if I was talking to you about it or if I was talking to someone else about it.
It's probably me.
But them using Darth Vader over and over and over again... And people surviving the encounters makes us go, Darth Vader isn't, like, the strongest dude ever if people can just walk away.
I mean, Darth Vader really isn't the strongest dude ever.
But they make him out to be.
Well, that's mainly because
they're writing a narrative.
Anger and power, right? Yeah. I like, not so much what they're doing now with the Vader comics, but, like, a few months back, they did have one cool concept.
Into the Fire?
I'm going to spoil it for you.
I've probably read the Hunt one.
It was when Ochi of Bastoon, he's actually hunting Darth Vader.
Yeah, the bounty hunter guy?
Yeah, and he hires in a guild of... They're not, like, the scrapper guild. They're just, like, some bounty hunter scrapper-type dudes. They're droids. And they start picking Darth Vader apart, and they're like, this dude's pieces are made with, like, 30-year-old garbage. Like, it's no good. It wasn't even good, like, at the time that it came out. Mm-hmm. Is trash. Mm-hmm. And Ochi's like, well, no, he rebuilt himself with droid parts. They're like, yeah, no, we can see that. We're talking about the stuff that he didn't rebuild himself with, the stuff that was already here. So Darth Vader is literally built like a walking trash bag for the express purpose of Palpatine always being able to kill him at any point should he need to do that.
Just crush his lungs.
Yeah, he's like, I can, you know, just crush your robot bits. He's like, I can zap you with lightning, and then you're literally donezo for good. It's like, Vader's not made with strong stuff. If they had actually made Vader with, like, the top of the line kit, he would have been like a monster.
Well, it's because when you watch,
been way more intimidating.
I think that's also a reference to episode 4, where he looks very dirty and gross, and then
that's
after
hilarious.
Episode 5, he looks clean.
Yeah, in episode 4, he's got a matte helmet, and there's, like, fingerprints and
mm-hmm.
dirty
smudges
and stuff.
You can see it in some of the scenes where some people are touching
it. In episode 5, it's glossy. And it's, like, all different.
Yeah, because it's new. They
he does go through... He goes through a few iterations.
Yeah.
But I like it.
I'm excited to get into those comic books. We get to read some soon, actually. We get to read Volume 2 of Darth Vader soon. That's the one that takes place after Episode 3.
I mean, I liked a lot of the Darth Vader stuff.
We
just
have
I just don't like
some
what they're
Daphne
doing with it now. I think it sucks now.
Well, because they have to tie it into the overall narrative. Volume 2, where it was, like, the Inquisitors and after Episode 3, they didn't have to tie it into any of the narrative they were writing.
Dude.
But the first volume and the third volume all have to be tied into the current narrative. So having Darth Vader, like, know where Luke Skywalker is, but then forget where he is in the movies, kind of annoying.
For me, in the comics, Darth Vader, he does end up leaving to go to Exegol. And it's literally at that moment where I noticed a sharp, like, downward spiral with the storytelling. I was like, this just got significantly worse. Mm. And I feel like they're just writing the story now just to keep writing this story. Because they're like, Darth Vader is selling, so we have to keep making Darth Vader books.
But you know what sucks? You don't, though. Vader's done after this arc, though, because he dies in the next movie.
Yeah, he literally dies.
We got three. We got after three. We got after one. After four, and we got after five.
If they're not going to make a show out of it, which I feel like that would be a lot more lucrative for them now, and they see it, and they're probably going to.
Well, what the kid,
Luke
what
Skywalker, the, post episode six, we got that big book that came out that was like, oh yeah, I got training from like my dad and Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan and Yoda. Yeah, like ghost training. So it's like, if they're not going to do that in a show, which I fully believe that that's a very real possibility now, especially with what they've shown us they like to do, it'll probably show up in a comic book or a novel or something.
I think after episode... Because the big reason why people hated the Marvel books initially was because they wiped away all the Dark Horse stuff and just said, we're only going to play with the canon we have. Episode, the first stuff, the last stuff, and the original stuff. We're not going to play with anything else. And then they obviously added, like, Doc Afra, and that's a brand new character that's expanded into the universe. They also have been playing with a lot of the side characters in the books. And the way they're going with it, in between 4 and 5, in between 5 and 6, I think they will do a sequel series after where they show, like, it's Luke, Leia, and Han building towards episodes 7, 8, and 9. Yeah. I hope there's no time skip, though.
I mean, at the very least, the Ahsoka show, because this is still in that 5 to 6
years. Yeah, they can also build towards the Mandalorian.
Yeah.
They can build towards the Mandalorian, where, because Luke, we know in canon, meets up with Mando. So we could have a Star Wars comic book after episode 6, where it's like the first three volumes are like him just doing stuff, and then there's one issue where he meets the Mandalorian, grabs Grogu, and then takes him back. And that's when we get Mandalorian comics.
I hear a lot of talk about this whole...
Because there's no Mando comics.
I hear a lot of talk about this whole thing where, oh, Mando's going to get Grogu back at some point. It's like, maybe.
And at the end of the season.
I honestly don't see... And people want to see Luke now in the Mandalorian. I'm like, I think anybody who's expecting to see Luke Skywalker have like a prominent role in the next season of the Mandalorian is setting themselves up for failure.
We really have to see... Because
it's the Mandalorian. Yeah. It's not the Luke Skywalker show.
We really...
Luke Skywalker shows up, nobody cares about Din anymore. Everybody wants to see what Luke's doing. That's a big problem. Mm. You can't do that. Grogu went with Luke, you know, whether he really wanted to or not, you know, he obviously walked off with him willingly.
Yeah.
You know, he left with Luke, so... He's gone. Mm-hmm. As far as I'm concerned, if we don't see Grogu in season 3, that doesn't do anything for me. I don't care, right? Because I'm not expecting to see Grogu in season 3 at this point. Because he literally went off to train with the fucking Jedi.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me Luke's only got Grogu for like a couple months or a year? It's like, what is that?
Well, we have to see what happens with Mando in Book of Boba, because Din's supposed to show up in an episode or two.
Yeah, I heard.
So we have to see like what the time skip is looking like.
Yeah, because we're still in a weird spot with the ending off, and I keep saying it with the way that Mando Season 2 ends. It's like, you don't really get an ending to the tension in that room.
Nope.
It's like, alright, the baby's gone, but Bo-Katan doesn't care about that.
She's going to be like, Gideon is still sitting
there. We got to figure out this whole, you know, leader of Mandalore thing, and Din's going to be like, I just don't give a fuck.
Yeah, he's like, you know? Take it.
She's going to be like, my baby literally just left. Mm-hmm. Right? She's going to be like, you pick up that sword and fight me, you big, angry baby man.
Yeah, but Bo-Katan is... a fucking little crybaby about the sword, because she's like, so I was given it to, I was gifted once, and then I lost it to Moff Gideon.
She just got it. And we still don't even know how she lost it to Gideon. Did she lose it actually in a fight?
I actually
think
Gideon,
he just take it and then tell everybody, like, hey, I won it, and I beat her, right? And now the whole galaxy believes him, and she never even had that chance.
I think it's that, because during the Mandalorian, the Siege of Mandalore, we know that,
After watching the fight between him and Din, I don't buy that Moff Gideon could have beaten Bo-Katan.
Really? I think he held his own pretty well.
I don't think so.
Really?
Really.
You think it was only because of the Darksaber?
Because if you consider how much training that Bo-Katan has from her experience just with the Death Watch and then as a rebel for Mandalorian.
Also growing up as a
Mandalorian. Yeah, growing up as a Mandalorian. She had armor on just like Din did. So whatever he was fighting her with, he would still have to get past her Beskar.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, how does he win that fight against her?
I think he just stole the sword during the siege.
Exactly.
I think she got like blown up or knocked out.
Lost it or dropped it, and he was like, I got this. And they were like, sir, where did you get that? He's like, I beat Bo-Katan, and she ran away like a little bitch.
Or he didn't even know who Bo-Katan was.
Yeah, he's like, I just got it.
He's like, I found the sword, and we know that it's for whoever has it rules the fucking who rules Mandalore. But Moff Gideon just has it.
Yeah, whoever had it, I beat them in a fight, and they ran off like a baby. And now here I am.
Speaking of running off like a baby, Hayden Christensen.
What are you talking about running off like a baby?
I just wanted to transition into the news.
We love Hayden here.
Hayden Christensen has been seen wearing a Kenobi cast hat. Duh.
Yeah! I don't know. There's like no news this
week. There's not a lot of news.
We need to put something in there.
Yeah, we got two bits of news. We got this. Yeah, so we know Hayden Christensen has been filming, officially been filming, as of like, what, 2 weeks ago?
No, we've known he's been, well, we didn't know when he started filming, I think it was per se, recently, yeah. But we knew he was cast forever ago.
Yeah, but I believe he was on set, and there were set leaks, I think, last week, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, at this point.
I don't even think it was a set leak, I think it was concept art leak.
Either way.
And it was just Vader, like, floating in Bacta. And everyone was like, this is like a big spoiler! I'm like, it's nothing we haven't seen before. If you're seeing Hayden Christensen, you should imagine that you're gonna see Darth Vader. And him floating in Bacta is something that we've all seen before.
As long as they don't show us concept art of them in Clone Wars outfits, I'm fine.
Dude.
Because that's the shit that
we need
see.
If I see that live-action Clone Wars outfit...
Dude, we're going to see Rosario Dawson, Hayden Christensen, Ewan McGregor.
I had a theory that they're actually saving the release now for the Obi-Wan hot toy, the General Kenobi hot toy, for when the show comes out.
So they're like, look like Ewan.
Oh, we'll just make it look like exactly like Ewan, because they'll just give us the full rights at that point. Yeah. Yeah, and we'll do a new mold for him. And I'd be all about that, really like some kind of direction
here. Yeah, they waited for like an episode 6 Luke to put it in the Mandalorian. They just gave him a cloak. I don't think we had like a real episode 6 Luke until that one. Oh, we did?
Yeah, we did. He doesn't look good.
Oh, well then the new one looks better.
Yeah, it does.
So yeah, Hayden Christensen, spotted on set, got a hat, pretty cool.
We love
I'm excited. He's only going to be in probably like 2 episodes, one Clone Wars, one Current Day, because...
We don't even know that.
Yeah, but we also know that it's 6 episodes, and the main bad guy is going to be Sun Kang, or Sun Tang.
Highly unlikely.
He revealed... Oh, here's news. He revealed himself that his character does have a lightsaber, and it's not just a weapon he picks up, it's actually like... He's got a lightsaber. So he's either going to be a Jedi or he's going to be an Inquisitor. So.
We'll see.
We just know that
I don't think he's going to be the main focus. Because if you're bringing Hayden back, this is going to be a story about Obi-Wan and Anakin.
We're going to get flashbacks and Obi-Wan and Anakin.
I don't think they...
Because how does Vader not know where he's hiding?
What do you mean, how does he not know where he's hiding? He literally left him chopped and burned on Mustafar and then ran away.
No.
How would you know?
Because if he meets him in between episode 4, he knows he's on Tatooine with the kid.
The theory is that he's going to leave Tatooine? Mm. You think Darth Vader's going to roll up on Tatooine, fight Obi-Wan, and be like, you got me this time. Deuces.
Yes, that's exactly what I thought was going to happen.
That's so stupid. You like writing stories, and that's what you thought was going
to
happen?
What's the urgency for Obi-Wan Kenobi to leave if his whole mission is to guard Luke Skywalker? He needs, like, something. That's why I want Corky.
He doesn't know that Anakin is still alive at the end of Revenge of the Sith.
So you think he's going to find out?
So presumably he's going to find out. He's going to see, like, a hologram. He's going to be in the canteen at Tatooine, right? And he'll be like, oh, he'll hear a report of Darth Vader. And he's going to be like, Darth Vader? He's going to be like, that's what he called Anakin. Are you telling me I didn't fucking kill this? Are you telling me he burned alive on that beach and didn't fucking die? That's what it was. It is a lava beach.
That is true. It's just sand. It's close to a body of water.
Yeah, it's just sand, you know?
Yeah. Or molten.
I mean, what do you want to call it?
A volcano planet?
Volcano planet?
He burned inside the volcano planet?
He burned in the volcano planet. Inside. He was literally on the surface of... Inside on the volcano planet. Either way, I mean, imagine you think that this guy is dead from that trauma, from that pain, and then you come to find out he's alive, you're like, oh shit, he, not only is he alive somehow, but he's probably pissed, and he's probably living in agony under that suit, so there's probably something in Obi-Wan that's compelling him, like, I have to finish this, you know, for the sake of this guy who meant something to me, I mean... As a huge Obi-Wan fan, that's how I'm thinking it's going to play out, because he'll be like, how can I just let this be? And I think ultimately he's going to try and fight Obi-Wan, he's going to try and fight Anakin, Darth Vader, and whatever, he's going to realize that he's ridiculously powerful and he just doesn't have it, you know? Yeah. And then he's going to be like, I can't do this then. And I guess I just got to kind of go back and hope that one day Luke becomes this guy that I need him to be.
If that's how the show plays out, that's going to be so boring. I'm going to go fight Darth Vader. Just kidding. I'm going to go hide. It's going to be so, like, it doesn't need to exist. if that's what the case is. Because if the character goes from point A to point B... I don't know
what you were expecting out of a show like that. I mean, I just wanted something cool. What do you think is going to happen here? You think he's going to go and fight Darth Vader and win? Like, no! You can't do that. And Vader can't win either. This has to be a show about... I don't think he's going to
find Vader.
This is a character show. This isn't a show about him just fucking, like, going out and doing cool shit. This is a broken fucking dude who's been cut off from the Force and not doing Jedi things for 10 years, you know?
I'm well aware.
So that's what the show has to be about. Yes, if he just started him
hunting Vader.
Acting like a... I think that...
I think he'll hear about Vader. We have a real
possibility of seeing that.
We're going to see Vader. You're going to
see a whole show of him just hanging out on Tatooine the whole time?
No.
Because that wouldn't make for a good show
either. I just think if he goes out to fight Vader and then goes, fuck, this sucks, and then goes back to Tatooine, we didn't need that story at all. Because we know that he dies in episode 4.
That's not what it's about. I know, but that's the way you just pitched it. It's about the journey that you're taking.
Yes, but who's going to grab him with the journey? He's not going to go, oh shit, Anakin's alive, and then go back. I think it's going to be someone involved with... You know, dude, either the Inquisitors are taking kids and Luke Skywalker is a target. All
he
needs
to do is find out that Anakin is still alive, and then he can get in contact with Ahsoka and tell her that Anakin is alive. Or he doesn't even have to tell her. He can just be like, I found something out, and I got to go deal with this. I need you to watch Luke while I go and handle this.
Oh, that's going to happen.
What do you think's going to happen, Hunter? Tell me your grand story.
I think the Inquisitor is going to show up and try to take Luke. Not actually get him or interact with him.
Why would he take Luke? Darth Vader thinks both of his kids are dead. They have no reason to even look for Luke.
Yeah, but...
Palpatine doesn't even know that Luke and Leia are alive. Yeah, but the Inquisitors... They have no reason to be looking for Luke. The Inquisitors
track, like, Jedi babies. Midichlorians and shit.
Jedi.
They do!
They use the holocron, I think, that list that they had.
Yeah.
They weren't just, like, out here.
Who's to say there's not one on Tatooine, and then Ben goes, oh, they might be looking for Luke, but they're actually not. They're looking for, like... Watto Jr. or something.
Watto Jr.
Andy! My son is Jedi Pose!
How many episodes can you have Obi-Wan hunting one Inquisitor on Tatooine?
I think it's going to be 3. I think it's going to be set up in 2 arcs, 3 episodes. I think the first one is going to be...
That would not play over. I think it's going to be like 8 episodes. They confirmed it's not going to be like 3 episodes.
They said it's 6.
Yeah, so what do you mean 3 episodes?
3 episode arcs. 2 arcs.
About what?
First one's gonna
the
be
first
like,
one is him fighting off the Inquisitor, and then, what's the rest of the show, Hunter?
I said the first one's going to be Clone Wars stuff, and the second one is going to be...
We don't need Clone Wars stuff. We have Clone Wars. That's the flashback stuff.
Yeah, the flashback. Whatever, let's just talk first.
About Rebels. Anyway. The show's not even out yet. You're telling me I'm wrong. You also said that this wasn't going to be... that Spider-Man wasn't going to be the way that it is, and now it is. You said it was going to be him running from the government the whole time. I'm like, yeah, okay,
that's what the story was in the comics.
I literally wanted to go out here on a limb and say that they are not doing everything from the comics.
I know, but the way they pitched it was he's teaming up with Doctor Strange.
The way they pitched it, and I was able to glean, yeah, that means like multiverse crazy magic shit. You were like, no, that means boring movie about him running from the police.
Well, because you can't fucking just, you know, sometimes you got to think about things realistically.
I did, and look, now it's happening.
You didn't know.
Yeah.
You
were wrong.
I'm okay to admit that I'm wrong, but thinking Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire are going to show up and that's realistic is ridiculous.
Yes. No, it's really not.
That it will happen. It's really not. But it's unrealistic.
It's really not.
Now it's not. Considering
all the things. Because I've been paying attention to the media and the marketing. Spider-Verse is going over huge. People love this whole multiversal crossover thing. Literally, with all that we were seeing in Loki, I was like, this opens the door a fucking shithole and a half. Literally, all the pieces were lining up, and I kept presenting that information to you, and you were like, but in the comics, they don't do that. And I'm like,
because they don't.
Okay. Fuck the comics. I'm like, this is the real world. We can do whatever we want with the power of money.
Anyway. Star Wars Hunters. We finally got a trailer of what the fuck that show's supposed to be. That game's supposed to be. And it looks like Overwatch.
It's boring.
Or Paladins, where you play as a hero. A designated hero, no customization. We thought it was going to be customizable.
I was hoping, anyway.
And you play in like a 3v3 or a 4v4 battle thing where you like capture points.
There was like a little bit of gameplay for it. Like barely. Like a few seconds of actual gameplay, I think.
Yeah, but they did announce you can play as two Jawas stacked on top of each other, and that's pretty
fire.
That's
like the best part of the whole
game. That's pretty fire. That's what I'm going to play for sure. That's what I'm going to play for sure. They have like a Jedi, a Sith, a Wookiee.
It's like a Jedi robot.
A Mandalorian, a bounty hunter. There's a Jedi robot. It's weird.
Droid Jedi. Yeah, it's that kind of stuff that I'm like, what is going on here? You know, because I know in Legends material they had a Force-sensitive droid. But then like when they started canonizing things, that went away. I'm like, how do you explain that?
I mean, this game's probably whatever. Not canon. I'm only saying it's canon because it's made now.
We'll have to see how that ultimately looks. It's coming out for mobile and Switch. I'm not overly excited, personally.
It's coming out in November.
I don't know. I'm not really going to be paying attention too closely to it. Like, when it comes out, I'll be like, oh, there it is.
Yeah, when it comes out,
it's
we'll
free,
play it.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
When it comes out, we'll play it and we'll do an episode on it. Just so we don't have to do it years later.
I'll give it a good go, as it were. Yeah. We'll talk about it on
we'll do an episode on it
that weekend, and we'll let you guys know if it's booty or not.
We'll give a content update when we play a round or two, and then if it's any, like, decent, we'll do a whole episode on it the next week just to be like,
do we even know what time period it's in? It's got to be like before
it looks like
High Republic, right? Because there's people with red lightsabers and blue lightsabers running around fighting each other.
It's got to be after High Republic, because High Republic, everybody, there's no Sith in the High Republic right now.
That's why it has to be before the High Republic, when the Sith were around.
Yeah,
in the Old Republic. Well, like, in between
that
time.
That's not canon right now.
In that time. Well, they could play in that time between the original Old Republic and the High Republic.
But if it's the Marvel,
there could be any
Disney
number of
canon?
Sith and Jedi around at that
time. Yeah, but if it's the Disney canon, they don't have the Sith right now, because the whole Acolyte show is supposed to be based off the High Republic timeline where they introduce the Sith character.
This is the problem with Disney being so fucking stupid.
Yeah, because we'll be talking about the Tales of the Golden Age of the Sith in like a week or two, and that takes place after Dawn of Jedi, like fucking 50,000 years later, right before the High Republic, and that's supposed to be the introduction of the Sith. That's, you know, but we got a brief little bit of it during the Dawn of the Jedi stuff. But according to Marvel's current timeline and DC's Disney's current timeline, the Jedis are not the Jedis are the only ones that are around. The bad guys are just bad guys.
I have to imagine with the KOTOR remake that the Old Republic is going to be canonized.
Fingers crossed.
Especially if it goes over really well.
Exactly.
Because then
especially
Disney
the
will be
movie.
Like, Disney will be like, you know, maybe we made an oopsie when we decanonized Revan and like all your favorite characters from all this extra material.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you think?
Well, it's because they only wanted their stuff.
Because then you can use that stuff, like in the Luke Skywalker comics, you know, he could find like a holocron that belonged to Revan or Malak or something.
That could be,
you know,
like easily
that could be
what
cool stuff.
Because in between episodes 6 and 7, we know he gets a Jedi Temple and he gets the sacred texts. So why not have Sith and Jedi texts?
One of them is Revan's diary.
Could be.
Page 69. Bastila looked at me funny today.
Nice.
She totally wants me.
She wants me.
This Revan guy was weird.
And yeah, no, so, it would have to take place either after High Republic Acolyte or in the middle of, like, 5 and 6.
Acolyte show still has me like, what is going on with this?
It doesn't make sense.
I'm like, what is happening?
Because why announce a show for material you don't even have yet? Like, at least write like a 5-issue miniseries first and then go, this is kind of what the characters are going to be.
You know what would have been awesome? If instead of like comic books and novels, they gave us a Clone Wars style High Republic show.
I think that's in the works.
That would have been awesome.
I think that's something we will get.
Just to actually...
I think they just need to flesh out the story a little bit more, and then they'll turn it into media. That's what they want to do with Acolytes, but they haven't announced any, like, dark side characters yet in that universe.
Well, I get, like, stories like Lord of the Rings, right, and James Bond. They started in, like, novels and in written media.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay for stories to start in that way, and I'm not saying that High Republic...
But Star Wars started as movies.
Yeah, it started off as, like, a highly visual media.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that you made, like, one set of comics and then just, like, a bunch of novels, it was, like... this is off-putting for me as a Star Wars fan. I'm also a Dragon Ball fan, so I can't read.
They just recently started doing extra content. We got the Temple at Monsters Peak, and we have the spinoff book, Shadows of Something, and we talked about it. And then they just like silently announced a new one. I was reading about it before when I was looking for news, but it's not really that important because I think it's just the advanced solicitation. So I'll talk about it next week if it's anything important.
I don't know these things.
Comic bullshit. And then we know the second wave of books already came out, and they're still as confusing as ever. So, we'll get to those at some point.
This is so
Star Wars Hunters, we'll talk about it when it comes out.
Not looking forward to it, unless it's good.
Well, I'm looking forward to just trying it out.
Let's put Obi-Wan in the game.
I'm looking forward to mostly just playing as the Jawas. I think that's going to be the best part. When they showed that was playable, I was like, that's cool.
I mean, I hope at the very least we can both play as the Jawas. I hope it's not like a you have to play as the Jawas.
You're locked
out. You
have
to play as the
There's
robot.
Eight characters and you're locked out.
I'm saying robot when I know it's droid. They're like hardcore Star Wars fans who would crucify you for that kind of shit.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm just out here like
the robot with
big
the
dummy.
The robot with the laser sword. The
laser sword robot.
Crucify!
From Harry Potter.
Yeah. From Lord of the Rings.
From Star Trek. Oh, dude, I love that show.
I love those movies by George Spielberg.
Those are my favorite video games. I can't believe Quentin Tarantino directed all of them.
Oh, man. All right, Star Wars Rebels Season 3 and Season 4. This is going to be a fucking doozy. So if we end up just going, Ezra meets up with Hondo, don't be mad at us. Because some of these episodes are nothing.
And like I said, I haven't seen all of Season 4 in like 2 years. So here we go. Let's start with the beginning of Season 3.
Episodes 1 and 2, Steps into Shadows. Ezra teams up with Hondo.
And then...
and they get a holocron, and they meet the Bendu.
And he's got a new lightsaber.
Bum, 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 bum.
And there's some other stuff, and...
that's it.
Ezra is given command of a mission, and Kanan struggles with being blind, and Ezra wants to use the holocron because it's talking to him, and it's like, be dark and evil and awesome, and he's like, I want to be dark and evil and awesome.
It's because Maul's talking to him.
And Kanan's like, you shouldn't do that. So then they go to the Bendu. Governor Price is acting like a fool, something about the 7th Fleet. The recently promoted Grand Admiral Thrawn, he's a blue guy, he's a Chiss, he shows up, and he's hard as fuck.
Badass.
We love him.
And he's got, Bendu, like, memorabilia from every single one of the characters. Like, I'm studying you, so I have your shit.
Really.
He's got, like, Hera's, like, dead brother totem. And he's like, this is mine now.
He's got the entire wall of graffiti from Lothal. And he's like, look at these pictures.
Studying my subjects.
I'm going to look at this. This is so weird.
I understand know your enemy, and he's like, Chiss are, like, master strategists. But, Thrawn.
Kanan thinks he's going to get eaten by the Krykna spiders because he's tweaking out and he's blind. But the Bendu's like, nah, it's chill. Just vibe with them in the forest. And then he can see.
But, like,
I have a huge problem with this.
Yeah?
Yes, and it's the same thing they did to Thor in Ragnarok that they said, fuck it, in Infinity War.
Oh, they just give him a new eye?
You can't just remove a character's vision or half of their vision just to compensate for it immediately the next time that we see them.
They literally pop in a fake eyeball.
I can't stand that
Ratchet
shit.
Ratchet has one.
They're like,
Ratchet, Rocket Raccoon.
They're like, oh, what if we blinded Kanan, and then he struggled with it for, like, the first and second episode, but then, like, in the second episode, the Bendu was like, just use the Force, bro, and then he can see with the Force.
I mean, he can't everything. He's like, I can't see her.
So I was watching an episode of Rebels last night that we're going to talk about, and he's flying a fucking ship, and Rex is sitting in the ship with him, and a bunch of ships fly in from hyperspace, and he's like... and Rex goes, that's a lot of ships. He goes, how many? He goes, don't worry about it. Just keep flying. I'm like, what do you mean, just keep flying? A bunch of ships just flew in from hyperspace. Wow. How can he even see the ships that are in front of him? What if he crashes into one? This doesn't make any sense. How are you going to act like he's a character with both of his eyes, and then half of the things that he says, he's like, I don't have my eyes. It's like,
it's because he's flying with the Force, and he can sense the Force.
It's one of the biggest problems I have with this show, how they treat Kanan like a blind, not blind guy following the loss of his vision. I'm like, this is so stupid.
They just fly casually. It's all you gotta do.
Or not blind, blind guy. It's so dumb. I hate it. I really do.
The holocrons of fate.
The holocrons of... hold up, we didn't get there yet.
Oh, I thought you were like...
no, we're not there
yet.
That
was the end of this one.
No, Ezra's tweaking out on the mission. Kanan leaves to go and help him, leaving the holocron with the Bendu. The Rebels manage to secure a handful of fighters, the Phantom, Ezra, Thrawn. Ezra suspended for being a crazy guy. He expresses gratitude to Kanan
with the Rebels officially
for rejoining the action while the Rebels learn that the Y-Wings are being delivered to General Dodonna's unit. General Dodonna gets some Y-Wings. This is the first episode to take place in 2BBY. There you go.
Yeah.
I did it.
Wedge is supposed
Star
to be
Wars Rebels,
somewhere.
1 and 2. Yeah, we'll get to him. Episode 3, The Holocrons of Fate. Kanan, Ezra, and some Rebel soldiers.
That's good.
To dock on another Rebel cruiser. The cruiser is seen to be damaged, so they board to investigate. And there's a soldier laying on the ground. Claims a red blade cut him, and he was forced to give up the Grove Crew's location. Oh, no.
It was Maul.
It was not good. It wasn't. They contact Hera only to find out that... oh, it was. Only to find out that Maul has already captured them. I remember this. I was actually laughing about it with Christina. I'm like, you know, the last time... because then the next time they see Maul, he's just like, Ezra, come with me. And the Ghost Crew's like, you can go with him. I'm like, remember the last time
they
saw
really
Maul?
Say that.
And he, like, low-key tried to murder the entire Ghost Crew. So... yeah, Maul takes the Ghost Crew captive, basically, and he tells Ezra that he wants the holocrons. Oh, no, Kanan and Ezra leave
looking.
At this point, I believe, because they're like, this is fucked.
Yeah, because he's looking for
them. They agree to give Maul both the Sith and Jedi holocrons, and the crew of the Ghost won't die. They want to save their friends. They return to the Bendu and retrieve the Sith holocron that they had left with them. The Bendu then test Kanan by having Ezra and them navigate a cave, because this is what we have time to do while Darth Maul is trying to kill our friends.
This is the cave episode.
And fisted with the Atollan native Krykna spiders. Ew! Kanan teaches Ezra to be able to move among the spiders without alerting them and retrieve the holocron. Then the Bendu warns that the pair of the Jedi and Sith holocrons are combined, they'd be able to grant the wielder immeasurable knowledge. At a price.
Your sanity.
Kanan and Ezra then meet with Maul. Kanan rescues the ghost crew while Maul combines the holocrons with Ezra. Ba 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 ba. Kanan manages to interrupt the process. Maul flees, gleefully muttering, "He lives!"
Including twin sons.
Shut up. Twin sons! No, Ezra, I think, says twin sons, right?
Ezra receives a vision of various locations. Yeah, he twin sons, sons, which is Tatooine.
He don't know
but cannot make sense of them because he's never been there before. He just goes
Kanan's
to a fall.
Kanan's like, we got it.
And Kanan's like, we got this. Antilles!
Wedge Antilles wants to defect from the Empire, and he does.
He's part of Iron Squad, and they got the receiver tip from the new Fulcrum. Spoiler alert, it's fucking Callus. That's this episode.
Ta-da! Episode 5.
Wedge is in it, and then he becomes a main character from now on. Kinda. He's in, handful? He's in more episodes than Maul.
Zib and Sabine steal a TIE bomber and rendezvous with Ezra and return to the Rebel base safely.
Yep.
Hera's Heroes! The Ghost Crew makes a supply run to the Twi'lek Resistance on
Planet Rilo. Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah, man, it's funny. Only to find out the charm that Cam under
her dad's leadership. Back.
Dad,
her dad's a dick.
He have begun to seize the upper hand and have captured their home and converted into their headquarters again. This also means that their Kalakori, an important family heirloom, is Imperial hands. We could be talking about this. Thrawn likes to collect family bullshit.
Thrawn stole it. Now he's like, "Your dead brother.
Give me that." Determined to retrieve her Kalakori, Hera decides to return to her home and infiltrate the Imperial headquarters. She and Ezra sneak into the base while the rest of the crew and Cam distract the Imperial patrols. However, Thrawn predicts Hera's actions, captures her and Ezra, and decides to keep her Kalakori from... "This is mine. I like this.
This
means more to me than it could ever mean to you because it's yours and I like it."
"I like things that are not mine."
He then arranges a deal with Cam where Hera and Ezra's lives will be spared if Cam turns himself in. However, with Chopper's help, Hera creates a distraction by destroying her home, and with the Imperial HQ explosives, everybody escapes on the ghost. Meanwhile, Thrawn observes the entire event, impressed with Hera's ingenuity, he decides to let the rebels escape. He's like, fuck it, they can go.
That's He's cool. like, oh, we'll get them later.
Back on the ghost, Hera reassures her crew that even though she wasn't able to recover her Kalakori, the most important thing is she's back with her family and friends.
The last battle. On a salvage mission to the old Clone Wars battlefield led by Rex, the ghost crew is captured by a unit of old battle droids. That's this entire episode.
Yeah, they make friends with the battle droids and they fight the Empire and it's lit. And then Rex is like, "You did a good job, Ezra.
Like, getting
us to work with the clankers. It was pretty lit."
That's the entire episode.
That's pretty much it.
Imperial Super Commandos.
Actually, there is something cool about that episode. The beginning of it has the original Clone Wars yellow.
Oh, nice.
For the Star Wars when it comes in. It is pretty cool. It's a nice little Easter egg.
Imperial Super Commandos. Sabine continues to try to convince Fen Rao that he's not a dick. But Fen Rao remains a dick. When contact with the Protectors is lost. That's true! When
contact with the Protectors is lost. I didn't say no! I just made a face!
Sabine, Ezra, and Chopper are sent with Fen to investigate. However, when they arrive, the Protectors' base is completely destroyed. After they destroy an Imperial probe droid, a squad of Imperial Mandalorians led by Gar Saxon, this fucking guy.
What asshole.
He shows up. He's from Crimson Dawn, right?
He's from Death Watch.
Yeah.
He's the guy, at the end of season 7, he's like, "Lord Maul, we're being pinned down. We need some help." And he's like, "Die well, Mandalorian." And then he leaves.
Ezra and Chopper are captured while Sabine and Fen manage to escape. While spying on Gar Saxon, Fen realizes that the Empire intended to destroy him and the Protectors all along, so he becomes a good guy. Fen seemingly betrays them, but then he actually does, and he comes back.
Your
because
boss.
He's like, Sabine's cool. Fen, impressed by Sabine's loyalty to the Rebellion and her friends, decides to officially join. Iron Squadron, another Wedge episode.
Oh, yeah, and Sabine beats Gar in, a fight.
Yeah, but doesn't kill him.
No, she dies later. She's like, "You suck." She died. I actually watched him die last night.
Spoilers. Iron Squadron, the ghost arrives to help.
I don't even want to talk about this. This one sucks. Sato, Commander Sato, his nephew, is being a little twat in space.
Oh, his nephew. I thought it was a Wedge.
And he's like, "I want to help for the Rebellion." And he's like, "You're too young." And he's like, "And you're too old." And he's like, "Low-key, you're right."
Oh, Wedge is in this episode.
So basically, they fight, and his...
The ghost crew and Commander Sato return to rescue Mart and barely escape Thrawn's ambush. That's it.
Yeah, whatever. Mart and his friends join the rebels.
Yeah. Ta-da. They become part of Wedge's Iron Squadron with Hera.
They go by Iron Squadron. They call themselves Iron Squadron.
Yeah, but they throw Wedge
They're
in
like,
there.
We are Iron Squadron.
Yeah, they throw Wedge in there.
Welcome, Wedge. You're in. Welcome to our club.
The Withtaki. Good job.
Winkatu.
Hondo's in it again. This is the one where Hondo's got his little pig friend, right? The Ugnaught? Or is that the first two?
We don't even really have to talk about this one that much either. Basically, Hondo just acts like a dick the whole episode, and Ezra learns that Hondo doesn't give a shit about, like, people. He just gives a shit about making money. Mm-hmm. That's, like, the whole episode. Nobody really dies, I don't think, except for, like, Hondo's crew.
Well, the pig guy almost dies, but then he comes back at the end.
Yeah.
And then he's, like, a recurring character with Hondo.
And it's pretty much just Ezra realizing Hondo's a piece of shit.
Spoilers for season 4, Hondo does come in clutch near the end.
He does.
So... because he's like, my friends, even though I don't like everybody, money friends.
I think that's the thing, though. Hondo really does like everybody.
He does like people.
He just is a piece of shit.
He's always looking out for number one.
I think he also has that thing of he can't really tell when he's being terrible to other people.
Yeah.
He just, like, narcissist. Is. And he's like, what? It's fine. We're all still alive, aren't we? Who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, we all get to go drink at the bar later, so it doesn't matter.
An inside man. This is who we find out that Callus is Fulcrum, and then he's pinning it on... the other guy. That's this episode. Thrawn deduces that the rebels could not have retrieved the data without help from the inside. However, instead of hunting the spy, Thrawn decides to wait, intending the spy to use it against the rebels later.
This episode is where they pretty much just find out, the Empire finds out there is a spy.
Oh, this isn't the reveal yet?
This is not the...
Well, no, it's a reveal for Callus. It's not the blame game episode.
No, so Ezra and Kanan, they... do work with Callus, and Thrawn's like, there's no way they could have figured out what they figured out if there wasn't a spy here.
Yeah.
So that's when Thrawn starts doing, like, a private investigation.
Yeah, and then he brings it up publicly later on with the three guys he thinks it
later,
is.
Later. Visions and Voices. I really like this episode.
This is a good one.
A lot.
This has got Maul in it.
So. Ezra's just vibing at the base, and then he starts tweaking out with Visions of Maul.
Tweaking.
Yeah, he's like, oh, this is not good.
This is not cool.
So they consult the Bendu, offering a deal, and then Maul actually straight up, like, shows up.
Yeah, he's like, I'm here.
And he threatens to reveal Chopper Base to the Empire unless Ezra accompanies him to complete a ritual in order to reveal to both of them the information they sought from the Jedi.
So he just wants to find Kenobi, man.
That's all he wants at this point.
His only goal right now is to find Kenobi because he knows he's alive.
I honestly think that there's a story where Maul went to fight Darth Vader or Lord Vader and an Imperial unit into a trap, and this is where he lost, like, the rest of his forces in a battle with Vader.
We talked about this before, because we've never actually seen Maul and Vader fight.
Mm-hmm.
Officially, besides obviously Anakin. Does Anakin actually fight Darth Maul? Oh, they briefly do in The Clone Wars, right? They have, like, a brief scuffle?
Anakin doesn't ever meet Maul, no.
He meets him. Besides when he's a kid. He sees him once or twice. He's obviously not during the Siege of Mandalore because
he's
doing Episode 3 stuff and killing kids. But I think in Season 5, he's like, Maul? I think he sees, like, holograms of him.
It might be a hologram.
I know he knows of Maul. I know he knows Maul's alive.
I know he knows of him. Yeah. And he knows he's alive.
I think there is a piece of
media. I don't think they ever directly interact, though.
Yeah, Maul versus Vader. I think, so with what Marvel likes to do, because Darth Vader sells so much, he's like Batman in DC. If Marvel does end up running out of Darth Vader stories because he dies in Episode 6 and they want to do more stories, they could always do... They always do the Tales from the Vader's Castle, so that's always fun to see Vader show up in, like, a horror comic. But then they could also do a Maul versus... Vader thing.
Dude, Darth Maul would have gotten cut in half again if he fought Anakin.
Do you think they're going to do that in the Kenobi show? Because we know Maul's going to show up. Do you think there'll be like a...
I don't think you'll see Maul in the Kenobi show because he has to be looking for him come the time. Actually, that's an interesting prospect.
Maybe they
meet up and Maul thinks that Obi-Wan might be dead after whatever their meeting is. Because
think about it. They said Darth Vader's in the show. It doesn't mean Darth Vader has to... This is what we were arguing about before. It doesn't mean he has to come in contact with Kenobi directly. Kenobi can hear about it and go find him. But Maul and Vader could have a fight.
He could. Because if Kenobi and Maul were ever going to meet up in that show, it couldn't be on Tatooine. Obi-Wan would actually have to leave Tatooine.
Yeah.
He couldn't stay there.
I think
because then Maul would just be looking for him.
I think Maul is going to... No, because Maul doesn't know that he's alive. But if there's a fight that ensues...
Well, that's what I'm saying. If Obi-Wan gets off Tatooine and for some reason ends up having to work with Maul, maybe in a fight against Vader or against an Inquisitor or whatever, right? Maul will be like, oh, Kenobi, you served your purpose well. And then he'll try to kill him, right?
And then he'll die.
And then Obi-Wan will either, like, fall away or escape or whatever.
Blown up
and Maul will be like, did I get him? Was that it? Or he'll be like, he's just gone again. Damn it, I lost him again, you know? And then... That's where he spends the rest of his... Because I think Maul has to get to a point where he's like, I don't really care that much about fighting Palpatine and Darth Vader so much anymore. I really just care about figuring out a way to get what I want, you know?
I don't care if the Empire wins, I just want Kenobi to lose.
I mean, realistically, his whole thing was, he was like, I want a way to destroy the Sith, right? Like, he says that, but yeah. Then it leads him to Obi-Wan. But really, Luke was the way to destroy the Sith.
He didn't so maybe know that. He might have
just
been,
he might have just been seeing Obi-Wan just because he's there.
Yeah,
because
doesn't he go like, bro, protect him, he's the chosen one. And then he buries him in the sand.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Something to that effect.
Something to that effect.
Not quite.
So anyway, Maul's here and he's kind of pissed off. And they fight the Night Sisters, which is kind of cool. We get to see Daka and... God, what's her face? The other one. Nice. Daka and the other one. Oh, Talzin.
Is it Talzin?
Master Talzin, right?
I know her name. I just didn't know if it was actually like Daka and Talzin.
Yeah, it's both of them from the Clone Wars. It's a nice little reference.
I thought they were just like spirits, maybe.
Nah, I thought it would have been cool if Savage was in this episode.
That would have been cool.
But, you know, fuck me.
That's another thing, right? It's like there's so much stuff that they could do with Maul still, because he is such an introspective character. I'd love to see a thing that's just
Adapt,
him.
Son of Dathomir. Adapt, son of Dathomir.
Like, but going more into, like, his mental state and his psyche, right?
Which will keep me son of Dathomir.
Because there are moments where he's talking with Ezra. He's tweaking. And he's, like, breaking down a little bit. He's like, I'm going to tell you about myself a little
bit. He also tweaks to himself, too. Like, he just talks to himself randomly.
He has his moments, because he's, like, still low-key broken man.
Ghost of Geonosis, fucking Saw Gerrera.
Yeah, Saw Gerrera acts like a fool, man. So
Forrest Whitaker comes back, though, to do it. Because he wasn't in the originals, but he was in this one.
Well, this episode, yeah, it came out like the exact same time.
Yeah, so they were like, yep, you can voice him now. So yeah, Saw Gerrera's here.
Yeah,
and
so...
they go to Geonosis, and he's like, we gotta kill the bugs!
They're looking for Imperial weapons and proof of just Imperial work on Geonosis, and they find one Geonosian that they named Click-Clack.
Because that's what he does.
And Saw's like a crazy terrorist. So he's like, we gotta kill the bug because he probably knows information and we gotta actually torture him and like rip his legs off and shit to get him to tell us what we want to know. Yeah, kill his baby. So Saw just basically wants to torture the Geonosian to find out things about the Imperials. They come to find out and put together this story that this Geonosian Click-Clack is holding the last egg of the possibly only Geonosian queen. So this egg survival basically means the survival of the Geonosian race. Because
then he could bang the queen and then boom, Geonosians.
Saw uses that as kind of like a thing. He's like, I'll kill the egg. I don't care. He's like,
yeah, he legit holds the egg hostage. I'm like, oh my God.
But then they end up actually going back into the tunnels and they find out that the Imperials are responsible for wiping out a majority of the Geonosians because of their work with the Separatists. They never wanted all
their information to come out. It's really cool to see that Saw Gerrera became a crazy person when his sister died.
Yeah.
They were just like, Saw? Because Saw has to get from point A to point B. Because we know in the... Saw shows up in season 4 or 5 of Clone Wars, and he's like a little radical.
Mm.
And then Rogue One comes out in the next timeline where Saw Gerrera's in it. And he is batshit.
Dude, even beyond losing his sister, though, it's like he wins this war with the people who came in and pretty much taught them how to fight. And then all of a sudden, those same people are like, now you have to do what we want you to do, or we'll just kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll kill civilians, and we don't care anymore.
Yeah.
So it's very reasonable to see why Saw became the way that he did.
Because then we also go back into Bad Batch, and we go to Rebels, and we see how he goes from one to row one.
He was very harshly radicalized, I mean, in a big way. Yeah. That guy,
he's not a bad character. He's also shows him Fallen Order, which is cool.
I think he's a really good character. He's a really well-written character.
It just
very well
sucks
written.
That he's like such a douche.
He's just kind of a douche, yeah.
But that's the point.
So after finding out that the Geonosians were wiped out by the Imperials, Saw's like, okay, whatever, that's fine. You can leave. And Click-Clack crawls underground with the egg. They escape some Imperials, I think, after they're getting attacked or whatever. And then Saw's like, bye, and he leaves.
He literally just leaves.
And Hera's like, maybe Saw's not as bad as a guy as he thought. And as like, we all up. Thought. And I'm sitting here like, no, he's pretty bad.
He's pretty fucked up. He's pretty bad. Warhead. While the rest of the Ghost crew and Phoenix Squadron are away on mission, Zeb is left in charge of security at Chopper Base. This is where an assassin droid shows up.
Yeah, there's an assassin droid. It's got a nuclear bomb in it. They send it back to the Imperials. It blows them up. Next.
After reactivation, the droid travels back to the base and blows up, but this event nevertheless gives Thrawn enough information to narrow down the base.
Yeah, he's
Trials
he's
of the Dark Saber. This is the fucking Mandalorian arc that's really, really good.
Yeah.
So Sabine and Fenn Rao go to get the Dark Saber with Mommy. So.
Is that what happens?
It's kind of what it is. So upon being told by Fenn Rao that with the status of the Dark Saber, Sabine recovered from Dathomir holds among the Mandalorians, especially the House Vizsla, who once ruled Mandalore, Kanan decides that Sabine should wield it in order to rally the Mandalorians into ranks with the Rebel Alliance. Sabine, who resents her family because she's like, man, they stinky, because they joined up with the imps, reluctantly agrees to the proposal and retreats with Kanan and Ezra to the Bendu's abode to be trained in saber use, but she just fucking hates it.
Yeah. Because
Kanan's a douche.
Kanan's a dick.
He doesn't have patience.
And she doesn't like that Ezra's, like, better than her.
Because he's naturally gifted with the lightsaber because he has the butterflies in his stomach.
But Fenn Rau gives her, like, the Mandalorian gauntlets or whatever so she can fight. And Kanan's like, are you serious? He's like, that's not what this is. He's like, this isn't a you one-upping Ezra contest. He's like, this is a you learning how to use the darksaber contest.
Because it's a sword.
It's not even a contest, it's training. Yeah. He's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
He's like, this whole beating Ezra isn't the goal of what we're doing here. You should be wanting to, like, better yourself with the weapon so that you don't cut your limbs off.
Yeah, exactly. It's a laser sword.
Yeah. So,
tensions ensue between the two, which culminate in Sabine walking away from her training. But after a talk with Hera and a mutual apology upon Sabine's return, Kanan offers her the darksaber, and the training begins in earnest. As it progresses, Sabine also is forced by Kanan to let loose with her own emotional turmoil, revealing at last that her past. She feels guilty about what happened and that what happened? They blew up, like, one of her homes with the weapons she designed for the Imperials?
She built weapons for the Imperials as a young person. So
because she's great with bombs. Because
she was like, I don't want them to hurt my family, right?
Yeah.
And I don't want them to hurt Mandalore. But then
they used them,
destroy Mandalore, pretty much, and to take over the planet. And after that, her family saw her as a traitor because she built those weapons.
Mm-hmm. This is deep, man.
But then they sided with the Imperials because they didn't want to get killed.
Yeah. Upon this difficult confession, Kanan, Ezra, and Rao profess their loyalty to Sabine no matter what course she will eventually choose.
Mm-hmm.
Legacy Mandalore! The gang and Rao travel to Antillon to Cronist in the Mandalore sector in order to straighten out matters with Sabine's estranged family. However, the initial reception is quite hostile since Sabine is still considered a traitor to her family due to the defection from the Empire. Upon being presented with the darksaber, Sabine's mother, Countess Ursa, the bear, allows her daughter...
What's up, bear lady?
allows her daughter to benefit to have a personal conversation, but is still too fearful of an Imperial reprisal against her people and her husband held hostage to join the rebellion. And she decides to sell out the Jedi to Gar Saxon in order for exchange for Sabine's freedom. Saxon, however, is a dick and decides to not do that and calls the Clan Ren traitors all together. Clan Ren and the rebels then start fighting back against the Imperial collaborators, and wielding Ezra's lightsaber, Sabine engages in a personal duel with Saxon and the darksaber. Sabine emerges victorious, but as she turns away, Saxon prepares to shoot her in the back. Ursa kills him instead, thus restoring her broken ties with her daughter. Foreseeing the chaos Mandalore will face in the demise of its Imperial government, Sabine and Rao decide to stay behind and help restore order, and Sabine to find one person who truly worthy of leading the pan. Wait, it's fucking Bo-Katan.
Yeah, she's looking for Bo-Katan.
She's looking for
Bo-Katan. She doesn't know
it. And then she leaves the show for like a bit.
Yeah, she's gone for a little bit until, like, next season when she immediately comes back.
Yeah, she's gone for the last arc of this, and then I think she shows up in, like, the last episode?
Something like that. Through Imperial eyes, an Imperial light cruiser will fall and steps a shuttle to Mon Mothma, right?
It's a Kallus episode. Yeah, Mon Mothma's in this one.
Yeah, so Agent Kallus...
No, I'm sorry, Yularen's in this one.
Oh, right, this is the one with Yularen.
This is where Yularen...
This is just another... Like, this is another Kallus' Fulcrum episode, but basically in this one...
Yularen's like, I'm the master technician who can figure out anything because I got keen eyes.
Yeah.
And then Kallus is like, shit, he's so good at his job.
Basically, this is another Ezra infiltrates an Imperial thing.
They do this all the time.
There's a bunch of shenanigans ensue, and ultimately Kallus pins it on the whole plan on another guy. And he's Lieutenant like, this guy's our traitor.
Yeah.
And for the minute, he thinks that Thrawn believes it, but then Thrawn gets Yularen back to the room, and he's like, I don't think that this guy actually was smart enough to make this plan. And Thrawn's like, you're right, because he's not. It's Kallus.
It's because List thinks it's Governor Price, and Governor Price is like, no.
Mm-hmm.
And then List gets killed, or stunned and put to jail.
Yeah, and then List is the one who gets accused of it.
Yeah.
See? And then they're like, he's not smart enough.
Yeah.
So
Kallus, with his sideburns. Secret cargo! This is the Mon Mothma episode.
Mon Mothma.
She's just in it, and then Admiral Thrawn's like, we gotta get her, because she's a Republic leader, and then they have Gold Squadron in this one with Gold leader. Yeah,
so Mon Mothma gets saved.
That's it.
That's it. Double Agent Droid. This is actually where I stopped watching last night, so cool.
Nice.
Chopper, AP5, and Wedge are sent on a mission to Imperial facilities to steal access codes.
Oh, this is the one where AP5 is like dying and he's singing show tunes in the outside of the space. And I'm like, why would he be singing show tunes? What how does he know this?
I remember this.
Yeah, dude. So there's So he's like, I can finally die, and he floats away in space, and he's singing like 50 show tunes. I'm like, how would you know that song? But whatever.
He's a droid.
Doesn't matter.
It's fucking droid.
Galaxy, I know it's far, far away in a galaxy, but like, come on, man. What are you doing?
far, far away, man.
Yeah. So AP5 they just take control of Chopper. Chopper acts uncharacteristically nice, and AP5's like, that sucks. What's going on? And then Harris sends a counter signal back to the controller, overloading his ship's systems and causing it to explode. Chopper returns, and they get AP5 again. Twin Suns.
This is actually the one episode that I know, like, everything about.
This is the best episode, and then 0 hours, okay.
So after receiving a holocron mission, Ezra Bridger tells the Ghost crew that they must go to Tatooine to save Obi-Wan from Maul. The crew refuses because they believe Kenobi is dead and the message is trapped by Maul. Ezra and Chopper sneak away and head to Tatooine anyway, but things go wrong as the ship is destroyed by Tusken Raiders. Dead?
Is it because he fights Darth
Vader? Because Kanan's like, if Obi-Wan Kenobi was alive, he'd literally be a rebel.
He'd help us He's like, Ahsoka.
He's like, I'm here. She was trained Ahsoka's by him. Here. He's like, any Jedi would join the rebellion. You know, they can't even fathom this idea
Kenobi's
that...
Kenobi's like, come on, trying to start a fire.
Well, they don't know what he's doing.
I like to imagine the cutaway.
I mean, imagine if Kanan knew that the son of Anakin Skywalker was on Tatooine, right? He'd be like, dude, Anakin fucking Skywalker? He's like, we should be on Tatooine. We should be protecting this kid. We have to go
kill Luke Skywalker.
They don't know that Anakin is Darth Vader.
I know.
So they wouldn't want to kill him. Yeah, I don't know why you think
he's just shooting innocent womp rats. I don't know why you think
they'd want to kill a baby, but okay.
He's not a baby at this point. He's like 12.
Starting to lose the narrative here.
We see him in one of the episodes. We don't see him.
I think in this episode, Obi-Wan's looking at him. And he runs off into the house. Yeah. And Obi-Wan's like, not dead.
Doing my job.
He gets to go to sleep tonight. Hopefully he wakes up in the morning.
We'll see.
So Tusken Raiders shoot these motherfuckers down and they get crash landed. Guided by the holocron, Ezra and Chopper send off into the desert. And after several hours of aiming wanderlessly, Chopper runs out of power and shuts down. Ezra has some visions of Maul telling him he failed his loved one shortly after he passes out. Upon waking up, he finds that Kenobi has rescued him and Chopper. Ezra tries to warn Kenobi that Maul's after him and asks him for help. To help the rebellion. However, Kenobi refuses, saying the rebellion already has what it needs to fight the Empire. He also has no intention of fighting Maul, though he knows it is now inevitable. As Maul finds the pair, Kenobi sends Ezra to safety and faces off with Maul in a lightsaber duel.
This is the worst lightsaber duel ever.
Arguable. Very highly arguable. I think it's really good.
It's two slashes and Maul is dead.
You're just not as big a Star Wars fan as I am.
Shut the fuck up. I can understand. I've actually had a point I wanted to bring up. I understand that one... They're both really old, so a lightsaber fight wouldn't be that crazy. Nope. But we just saw fucking Darth Maul, like, eat six Inquisitors.
That's not what it is, though. He tricked him, straight up.
He tricked him?
He tricked Maul.
How'd he trick Maul?
He opens up with, at the beginning, he opens up with his stance that he normally did, like, all throughout the Clone Wars, yeah, with his two fingers out.
And then he goes...
But then he switches up on him, and he does,
The one where he dies.
He does his, like, out front stance, but then he switches it up again, and he does exactly what Qui-Gon did in his fight with Maul.
So he
literally sets Maul up to go for the same exact series of strikes that he went for to kill Qui-Gon. Yeah. So he knows exactly what's coming with the dirty trick, too, and he fucking slices through the saber, though. So when Maul thinks he's going to hit Kenobi in the face, he's actually taking a lightsaber to the fucking chest.
Oh. It's still pretty bad, though, because it takes...
I love it.
The intricacies are really cool.
I was pissed the first time I saw it, but after having it analyzed and someone explained, I think it was Sam Witwer who explained it, actually. Mm. I was like, that's pretty poetic, not for nothing. Because he literally threw Maul off with three different stances, and he gets him in this mindset of, oh, I know what to do here, because I fucking killed your master, who literally taught you the moves that you're going
to
do.
To do the Liam Neeson.
So he went for the Liam Neeson. He's like, dude, I killed the guy who taught you. Dirty I know the move day. You're going to make, right? But Obi-Wan's like, I know the move you're going to make, because you're a piece of shit.
Because you're an asshat.
So...
Interesting.
I think it's a really cool moment.
It's
personally.
Definitely a little bit cooler now that you told me the intricacies of it, but also it could have been way fucking cooler because with the lightsaber fights they have in Rebels, they're so fast paced and like, yeah, that sucks that sometimes they're just rolling around in the dirt for a while. There's an episode where Kanan and Zeb are like rolling really fast to dodge things. I'm like, are they Sonic the Hedgehog? What's happening?
Is this Kanan using force roll?
What's going on? It was like in the first season. I'll go back to it and show you later. I'm like, what the fuck is this? But, like, they could have such a cool lightsaber fight, and then they just kind of go, pew, pew, dead. I was like, this could have been, like, a 5-minute fight, straight up, and then they could have done the cool Qui-Gon thing.
I get you. I get where you're coming from.
Because this is the last time we see Maul.
I get exactly where you're coming from, and I totally would have loved to have a bigger fight myself, too.
Another chop in half would have been awesome.
I mean, this is serviceable as an end moment to...
Especially because Obi-Wan and Kenobi are also much older and don't have enough strength to...
If you think about it realistically, he probably hasn't been doing a lot of Jedi shit lately.
Also, Obi-Wan dies in 2 years to, like, the same moves, because he just goes, kill me.
I just die. Yeah, I think it's, like, a couple years later, right?
It's 2 years.
Yeah. So Luke is, like, 16 or whatever at this point.
Yeah, Luke's, like, 15, 16 years old.
After a period of prolonged tension, Maul strikes first, was quickly countered and defeated by Kenobi. Before Maul dies, Kenobi reveals to him that he's watching over whom he believes is the chosen one. Ezra and Chopper return to the base on Maul's ship. Ezra tells the rebels that Maul is gone and apologizes for sneaking away. The episode ends with Kenobi watching a young Luke Skywalker at the Lars Moisture Farm from a distance. It's a very poignant episode.
Yeah, it's probably the best one in the entire show.
It's my favorite episode in all of Rebels.
It's probably the best episode.
Followed, obviously, by The Twilight of the Apprentice. Because that is just... Oh,
it's a fucking good one, good. Man.
0 Hour, episodes 21 and 22. I think it's the end of the season, right?
Yeah, various Rebel calls begin gathering on Anilon because they go into fucking Lothal again. Price and Tarkin are there, and they're going to have a real performance, that's what it says.
Yep.
And they plan to trap for him because it's a party. There's like a parade. Kallus tries to warn the rebels, but is captured by Thrawn. Thrawn traces Kallus' transmission and determines the rebels' base is on Antillon. Thrawn then sends a fleet over there, which includes 2 Dorito cruisers.
Oh, I remember this. This is the episode where Thrawn beats the living piss out of Kallus, right, with his hands, with his fucking bare hands.
They do kung fu moves.
He just straight up karates him to death.
Yeah. With the 2 Dorito ships in orbit, it is impossible for the rebels to escape, and the fleet is forced to fight a losing battle against the imps. Knowing that their only chance to send someone out to summon the rebel fleet, Commander Sato sacrifices himself by crashing into Constantine's Dorito. This is where the Bendu dies. Giving Ezra a window to escape. He's the force thing. On Antillon, Kanan attempts to ask the Bendu for help, but the Bendu's like, bro, you did this. Kanan then accuses the Bendu of being a coward, and he's like, you literally did this. In hyperspace, Ezra contacts Mon Mothma, because she's still around, for help, and she's unable to send her reinforcements due to a fear that she could get caught in Thrawn's traps.
No, thanks for helping me and all that a few episodes ago, but no.
She goes, I need to be alive in episode 4 and 5.
I'm good, you can get fucked.
With no options left, Ezra decides to ask Sabine for help, because she has only disappeared 2 episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
With the battle going poorly, the rebels are forced to retreat back to Antillon and activate its shield generator, protecting them from the imp's bombardment. Thrawn responds by sending a ground force assault, and Ezra's like, shit. Ezra finally reaches Sabine and manages to convince her and Rao to lead a small Mandalorian force, basically the Death Watch, to destroy the remaining Dorito ships, which will allow the rebels to escape. Thrawn manages to force a breach to the base defenses, but before he can capture the rebels, the Bendu intervenes, attacking the imps and distracting them long enough for the rebels to evacuate, but attacks them as well. At the same time, Ezra and Sabine manage to destroy the Doritos. Kallus manages to escape imprisonment and ejects in an escape pod picked up by the Ghost Crew, which is a really cool scene to see. They just, like, scoop it up. Rebel fleet then escapes back on the surface. Thrawn manages to incapacitate the Bendu and shoots him, but he turns into a ghost and leaves. Refusing to believe this, he tries to kill him and he leaves. The remaining fleet leaves to rendezvous with the rest of the rebellion on Yavin 4, Yavin 7.
Yavin 7.
And Hera promises to help Sabine and the Mandalorians on the upcoming mission. Ezra's worried about the massive defeat for the rebels have suffered, but Kanan points out that it's a small victory. He then tells Ezra that they foresee a future where everyone is free, and Kanan's free of life.
I like how you said they lost, but Kanan's like, it's a small victory, and you didn't even say why it was a small victory.
Since I managed to escape.
Yeah, there you go. It completes the sentence.
I said they escaped with Kallus before.
There you go.
Yeah, he does. Then tells Ezra that he foresees a future where everybody's free, but that they will have to fight to make it happen. This is the last episode that takes place in 2BBY.
2BB.
Boom, 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 Mandalorian shit.
Then we get to season 4, and open we're like finally almost stuff. At the end, because thank God with this fucking show. So episode 1
It does
2.
Drag for a bit.
Dude, this whole show just drops off this
after season
2,
and then it just kind of drops until the Kenobi stuff, and then it drops again. I like the Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian stuff is the best stuff, and then the rest of it is just we're doing rebels.
In season 4, it's like we're going back to Lothal for the 20th time.
You guys like Lothal?
Dude, it's ridiculous. I understand like that's connected to Ezra, and it's got like some secret like Jedi Temple bullshit on it, but like, come on, dude.
Secret Jedi Temple
bullshit. Dude, stop. It's got, like, the portal to the nexus of realities or some shit.
The world between worlds.
Exactly.
The portal to the nexus of reality. Yeah.
Because, of course, it's Lothal.
Hey, man, it's kind of what it is.
Because, of course, it's Lothal.
It's got to be Lothal.
Why does everybody want to go back to Lothal? I'm fucking Finn right now.
Episodes 1 and 2 are the heroes of Mandalore. Sabine, Kanan, and Ezra lead Clan Renan to raid on Clan Saxon Outpost to rescue Sabine's father, is being held captive by Clan Saxon on behalf of the Empire. Oh my god, what a fucking nightmare
that Bo-Katan's was. Bo-Katan's here and she's upset.
Oh my god, baby got big sad Bo-Katan.
She then attempts to give, Sabine gives Bo-Katan the Darksaber, but she refuses because she must win it in a fight, but then she gets it later. Mm-hmm. Sabine's father is to be moved to the capital city for a public execution, so Sabine plans to rescue him. As he's being transported there, they attack the convoy and succeed in rescuing Sabine's father, Ulrich Ran, who turns out to be as much of an artist as Sabine. I'm sorry. Sabine is then contacted by her mother, just as the Empire reveals a new weapon, which Sabine recognizes because she fucking made it. It vaporizes Mandalorians inside their armor because it overheats them. It's so fucked.
It only works on Beskar.
Yeah, so Mando needs to watch out. Moff Gideon's gonna get some good ones. Sabine is devastated as she realized that they killed a weapon personally made by her to destroy the fucking people. But she is revealed to find her mother and brother survive the attack. As the imps arrive, Sabine and her allies go to Bo-Katan and Ezra as
they're rescued by her.
Yeah, they go to
her. They go to her.
I'm just reading fast. Saxon shows a recording of the weapons field test on Thrawn, and he's like, dude, that's awesome.
That was sweet.
At Bo-Katan's camp, her men confront Sabine and her role in the creation of the weapon, and Bo-Katan is named Duchess after Satine. Sabine, Ryman, convinces Clan Kreese to join her raid on Saxon's Star Destroyer. During the assault, Sabine is incapacitated by Saxon. I thought he was dead.
He has a brother.
Okay. Okay. Who orders her to adjust the weapon to its fullest power. She does so, but then said recalibrates to target the Imperial armors, which stuns the Imperial troopers. Sabine slashes the weapon with the Darksaber, breaching its power core and destroying the Star Destroyer. Bo-Katan gives it a lightsaber, and she fucking chooses to accept it this time for some reason.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Dude, Bo-Katan's a dummy.
And Bo-Katan is just like, no!
She's like, you know what? Fine, I'll take it.
She's gonna do that in fucking Mandalorian Season 3 or Book of Boba Fett. She's just gonna go, I don't want it. And he's gonna go, well, I'm just gonna drop it on the ship then. And he's just gonna leave. And like, someone's gotta pick it up. Moff Gideon will be like, me, I guess.
I'll take it.
And she'll be like, no.
He got knocked out. He was pistol whipped.
If Din just drops it and walks away, what's Bo-Katan gonna do? Leave it there?
Yeah.
She would.
Yes.
Cara Dune has it.
Just to be spiteful.
Fennec Shand picks it up and gives it to Boba Fett. And then she fights Boba Fett and kills him for it. And then Boba Fett dies at the end of Book of Boba Fett. I figured it out.
Oh, and Fennec Shand just becomes the leader of the Mandalorians.
No. Fennec Shand gives it to Boba.
Okay.
Boba then uses it to help rule
uh-huh.
the Jabba stuff. And then uh-huh. Bo-Katan goes, well, this guy's actually a dickhead. So yeah. Then they fight and kill Boba Fett. Or Bo-Katan gets killed by Boba. We don't know yet. We'll figure it out.
I don't think Bo-Katan could kill Boba Fett.
No, neither do I.
That's okay, though.
But, you know, maybe he doesn't know how to use a lightsaber, so he's like, this is fucking stupid.
Alrighty. I don't think she knows how to use it either.
I think Din's just going to drop it and leave.
Dude, what if he just has it?
That'd be kind of fucking sick.
Like, you know. I mean, what if it's like a thing of, like, she let me leave. I mean, she told me that she was going to find me one day and kill me for it, but she let me leave. Like, whatever.
I'm just going to leave it somewhere.
Because he was like, I'll just die. I don't care. I don't know, whatever.
Guess I'll die.
I really don't want to speculate anymore about that because I really have no idea what they're going to do.
Yeah.
I mean, Book of Boba Fett's really going to go a lot to explain mm-hmm. what we're actually looking at.
3 and 4, in the name of the rebellion, Ezra, Kanan, and Sabine arrive on Yavin 7 to join their main rebellion. Hera's squad also arrives, having barely survived an Imperial ambush, which Bail Organa attributes to an Imperial communications relay on Jalindi. A droid projects this hologram of fucking Saw Gerrera, who mocks Mon Mothma for her unwillingness to defeat... To be fucking just a serial killer, essentially. He's like, just fucking kill him. Why don't you just kill him?
Kill everyone.
And she's like, you can't do that.
We are the rebellion.
It provides results. She then sends the Ghost Girl on a mission to intercept the relay's transmission. Sabine inadvertently connects them to the main channel on the light cruiser, forcing Ezra to impersonate an Imperial officer, which he's so good at.
He's the best.
Unfortunately, it is the very officer who is commanding the ship, Braum Titus. Sabine calls for Hera to pick them up, as they have been seen. Before she can do so, a U-Wing piloted by Guerrera picks up Sabine and Ezra and then bombs the relay dish, destroying it in the cruiser. Hera then demands that Saw Gerrera transfer them, but he jumps to hyperspace
because
he
runs by. I don't remember this.
I saw them! They are mine!
I kind of remember what happens after this, but I don't remember that.
He goes, these are mine!
These are mine, bye.
Guerrera convinces Ezra and Sabine to aid him in discovering the secret weapon. He is convinced the Jedi... It's the fucking Death Star.
It is a Death Star.
They board an Imperial cargo shuttle disguised as a regular civilian spacecraft and discover a group of prisoners that are shipped off to Jeddah, where that's where Saw Gerrera goes. They find a giant kyber crystal to power the Death Star. Chopper attempts to have the prisoners out of harm's way in the escape pod.
It's the crystal crisis.
Yeah, dude, it's right here. It is. They remade it. It's
happening here.
He calls two tubes to pick him up. What the fuck is two tubes?
What?
Is that really what it says? It says he calls two tubes to pick him up. I don't know if that was just an autocorrection, but
two tubes to pick him up. I didn't write it, so.
So two tubes is here. And Ezra and Sabine are rescued by the ghost craft, destroying a massive Star Destroyer, Big Doritos. The engineer decides they want to join the rebel cause, and they head for Yavin 4.
Yavin 7.
The occupation. This one's not really anything crazy.
Okay, let's not talk about it.
This one's just Visago is like, dude, they showed up on Lothal. What do we do? And he's like, we gotta go talk to my friends that I met in the academy. And Visago's like, fucking why?
John Kell and Azadi.
Yeah. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Flight of the Defender. Thrawn's in
oh,
this one.
Oh, yeah, they see the Defender, right?
Yeah, and this is where they reveal that Caleb Doom's voice, last name is Doom.
We already know this.
We knew this, but Ezra didn't.
Right.
Ezra was like, who is Caleb Doom? And Kanan's like, ha 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 ha, I don't know.
I don't know.
It's basically this entire episode. They meet the Lothal Wolf. Which is like Kanan's like spirit animal or something.
A Loth Wolf.
Yeah. Kindred. Jai's in this one again. Because Jai decides to join the rebellion while Azadi's like, bruh. Ezra, Jai, and Zeb move to secure TIE Defender's hyperdrive before an Imperial recovery team can find it, but Thrawn has already dispatched an additional search. It's Rook, an assassin. This is this little tiny guy who shows up a lot. You know, little tiny monk man?
Yeah.
He's, like, really weird. I thought he was much taller than he is. He's, like, a little.
No, he's a little tiny guy.
As Zeb takes the hyperdrive to safety, they end up being chased by him. They elude him with much difficulty, but a tracking beacon attached to their speeder gives Price the hideout to the crew, the ghost crew. While Hera and Chop evacuate to Yavin 7 with a stone. They're going to hate us for calling Yavin 7. They just don't know.
Who's that?
Anyone who listens to this.
Those people.
The rest of the rebels face the incoming Imperials to cover their retreat just before the two groups clash. The Loth Wolf shows up, and he's like, I got you. Walking mysterious paths, the rebels inexplicitly find themselves in a hidden settlement halfway across the planet, which they visited in ancient times by the Jedi who erected a secret temple. They're like, we just got here. On the Thal and discovered Loth Wolf is a messenger from the Force! And he tells them that the sinister goal is there by the Empire. Crawler Commandeers. I don't know what this one is.
No, well, let's find out. After the Lothal rebels have taken shelter in the ancient settlement, they discover a mining guild or crawler stripping Lothal surface for raw materials passing by and decide to hijack it to establish contact with Hera and the Yavin Rebel base and its communicators.
It's just another Visago episode.
It's a Visago episode, according to Hunter.
It is. Visago's here. It says Visago is among them. He was sold by the guild.
Let's just go to the last thing, then.
Rebel Assault. Oh.
No. Ezra's team agrees to coordinate the impending assault from the planet's surface. So they're gonna stay on the assault from Lothal. We're not leaving anymore.
Hey, look, it's Rebel Assault time.
We live here.
Hera and her team are on Lothal. Yay. While the ghost crew on the ground sabotage the anti-aircraft batteries to allow an unhindered attack in the TIE factory at Lothal's capital. However, with Thrawn coordinating the Imperial defenses, the Rebel attack force is annihilated with only a few survivors, Hera Chopper and Martin, because he's gotta be here.
Dude, Martin Matten.
Martin. Managing to reach the surface and regroup safely as Hera's group attempts to slip under the city. They get attacked by Rook. Kanan then arrives to the capital. He stopped by the Loth Wolf and asks what he should do. Hera manages to open an escape route but is captured. And this is this arc where Kanan's going to die.
Oh no.
Jedi Knight. Bum bum bum. You want to do this one?
Sure.
I just keep banging them out,
man.
Speed reading, I do it wrong.
But that's the thing, also, is you saw these episodes, last month.
Yeah.
I saw them, a couple months ago. 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Episode 10, Jedi Knight. While Hera is being tortured by Governor Price, Ezra Kanan is being prepared to extract her from Imperial captivity. With Admiral Thrawn absent on Coruscant, they infiltrate the Lothalian Imperial Command Center. It's always that one word that just stops you dead.
They got the Lothbats, man.
I want a Lothbat. Yeah. Center using gliders they've this built cool to trick. Look like Lothbats, and Ezra and Sabine secure a gunship as an escape craft. Kanan recovers Hera's Kalakorian, an important family heirloom that was taken by Thrawn earlier in the series. We just talked about it. And frees Hera before she, under the effect of a truth serum, can reveal the location of the Rebel base. As they attempt to escape on one of the gliders, Kanan instructs Hera to land them inside Lothal City's fuel depot. Just as Ezra and Sabine pick them up, Price orders her troops to open fire on the fuel tanks, causing an explosion caught on top of the tank. Kanan uses the Force to control the explosion and push Hera and his friends away from the blast
fucking dies.
At the cost of his own life. And he gets his eyes back.
He does for 2 seconds.
Yeah, for two seconds, and then he dies.
He sees Hera, and then he dies.
It's like the ultimate fuck you to all of us who are like, how can he see things anyway?
But we know, in between him being sight and him being dead, they have a baby, so.
Yeah, they banged.
They banged, at least once. Minimum one time bang.
They made baby.
Minimum one time bang. Doom! D-U-M-E, because Caleb.
this is the World Between Worlds one, right?
I don't know.
Oh, cool.
We'll talk
about this is the one where Ezra cries about Caleb being dead.
Yeah. He's like, oh, my dad! My older brother, with the destruction of the Imperial Field Depot and the resulting shutdown of the TIE Defender Project, Governor Price decides to cover up her blunder by throwing victory parade.
We did it! We won! Yay!
But Thrawn is not deceived while Sabine and Zeb depart to Lothal City to spoil the party. Ezra sinks into a despair until he's challenged by the Lothwolves and led to a gigantic Lothwolf called Doom, because it's fucking Kanan. Doom. It's Kanan. Who confronts him with his fears and tells him to return to Lothal Jedi Temple. Meanwhile, after noticing the Imperial TIE factory has been shut down, Sabine and Zeb encounter and engage with Rook again, because this guy fucking sucks.
Is it Rook, or is it Rook?
I think it's Rook.
Hmm.
After beating him unconscious, they send him, covered in Sabine's graffiti, back to Lothal City to show the rebels are still willing to fight. Hera overcomes her own grief by adding a token for Kanan on her Kalakori, and is being told by Sabine and Zeb of Kanan essentially fulfilled their goal of stopping the Tide Project. Ezra then informs his friends the important mission is to go to the World Between Worlds.
Go there.
That's literally what he's like. He's like, we got this.
Go there.
Wolves and a Door. That's a dumb name. With the aid of the Lothal.
It is a dumb name, isn't it?
Ezra and the Wolves and a Door. If I can just do, like, two wolves and a baby. Like, what's going on?
With the two wolves and a baby.
two and a half doors.
Two and a half wolves walking to a bar.
With the aid of a Loth wolf, the Loth wolves, Ezra and the crew head to the Jedi Temple, which they find is being occupied by the Mining Guild excavation team led by Hedin, who is very close to penetrating the temple's secrets but interpreting an unearthed mural depicting Mortis gods, the fucking dudes from the Mortis saga.
Father, the son,
so
and
cool.
The daughter.
So cool.
So cool.
See him come back, because Filoni's like, yeah, we did this.
Have you ever seen that fan art of the Ahsoka, Darth Vader, and Galen Marek?
No.
Oh, dude, I'm going to show that to you.
Ezra uses the... Oh, wait, I think I have. Bring it up anyway. Ezra uses the Force to bring the images to life, which shows him the location of the door. However, despite their disguises as Imperial Scouts, because that never works, their presence is found out and the alarm is raised. Ezra manages to escape through the door because he just walks into a wall.
Mm-hmm.
A World Between Worlds, Sabine ends up being questioned by Hedan and asking to interpret the pictographs that he has found within the Jedi Temple, thereby learning the Emperor intends to breach the barrier between life and death as a final stepping stone to controlling the Force within the entire universe.
That's what you do.
That is what one does when you are an old, angry man.
And the bad guy.
Just as she has deciphered how close to the portal was... Oh, yeah, that is sick.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's hard as fuck.
I wish Galen Marek was canon.
Me too.
Maybe one day. Just after she has deciphered how close to the portal, Sabine is extracted by Hera and Zeb. In the meantime, Ezra wanders the void, and he saves Ahsoka.
Yeah, he does, from death.
Yep, she literally dies, and he goes, nah. And that's when, if you go back to Twilight of the Republic, you can see someone limping away with the fucking little owl. That's Ahsoka.
I remember when we talked about it. You're like, dude, Darth Vader, like, killed Ahsoka. But, like, she's in The Mandalorian. I'm like, he's like, and you were like, so she's not dead. I'm like, no, she's dead. You're like, what are you talking about? I'm like,
was that,
I'm like, she could totally, I'm like, she's totally
yet.
Dead, man.
Wasn't there yet.
But she's dead. It leads you to wonder, though, does time flow in one strand in this universe? Or are there multiverses?
He put her back in there. Multiverses.
Well, she left. So. She ran out and jumped into a different hole. She didn't even jump back into that
one. She ran back
into
the same hole.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's revealed that she ran back into the same hole because
but Vader would have shooting, Vader would have already been gone.
Palpatine was shooting Force fire.
Yeah, well, that was pretty crazy.
What?
Vader would have already been gone in the rubble at that point because obviously the events that were happening in those portals were still happening even when they were
all
looking
at the same
at
time.
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, is time linear here, or
it seems
is there
like
a
time is linear?
Yeah.
From what the World Between Worlds actually shows us, it looks like time is linear, mm-hmm. but you can go in at any point if you're in the World Between Worlds. Which is what Ahsoka ends up going back into the same timeline she was. But then she, like... So, what I don't get... No, it... But does it move differently in the World Between Worlds? It doesn't, because Ezra shows up and Sabine is just like, where'd you go? Because then they get the...
She's like, you jumped in the wall, now you're not...
And now you're
out of the wall again.
So, because Ahsoka, she goes back in the World Between Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gets right back in. She goes right back to her timeline. Mm-hmm. Why does she not interact with the rebels at all? Is there a reason? I think she...
Because they all think she's dead.
But Ezra knows.
So she might be trying to preserve some kind of order that she thinks needs to exist or something. They might explain that in the Ahsoka show, why she just dipped, you know, and didn't get back. Maybe she was stuck on that planet for a little bit and couldn't, like, figure out...
I think they mentioned it, but we're stupid. We might be able to check
it out. I mean, they move bases, too, the rebels, you know? Yeah. It's possible they moved to a base and she didn't know where they were. I would think she would know where Yavin 4 is. And yeah. they have a base there?
Oh, but... here we go. Just before her imminent demise, Ezra pulls her through the portal into the void. After realizing that he has a chance to save Kanan as well, he makes an attempt but is dissuaded by Ahsoka from changing fate. Because Ahsoka's fate was...
She's like, save me, not him.
But Ahsoka's fate was able to be changed because if Kanan doesn't die, then they don't escape.
Then they die.
But but Ahsoka already made them escape before she died. That's what it's kind of like.
Yeah, they were already gone.
They were gone by the time Ahsoka and
Vader. Her living or dying didn't change whether or not.
Especially if she doesn't interact with them in the slightest.
She's like, you save Kanan, you, Hera, Sabine, you guys are all going
to
die.
You guys all die if you try to pull him out because the explosion's going to be that big.
But it would have made for an interesting thing to see if Ezra would have just blipped out of existence there or if he was still been alive in the world between worlds.
That would have been interesting.
Right? Because is that like a separate space where it's like, if all of your friends are there in the world between worlds, but they like die through the portal, right? It's like, are you guys still there because you're in a separate space? And then you can go back?
If you had a chance to change your fate, would you?
Would you? You might.
But with opening of the Lothal door, the Emperor is finally able to reach into the void and attack them.
Yeah.
With force fire, Ezra and Ahsoka separate and escape through portals through which they have come, the two doors. With Sabine's hint, Ezra is able to steal the access way to the void, which also triggers the collapse of the temple. After a narrow escape, Hera returns to the temple, which has completely vanished. But with that, he has learned with the void, Ezra's finally able to overcome his grief over Kanan's death after realizing that if he pulled Kanan out, him and the others would have perished instead.
Yeah.
A fool's hope. This is cool. Everybody's in this one.
It's like two more episodes.
Oh, yeah. There's this one, and then there's the finale. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one. Hera, Rex, Kallus, Hondo, Gregor, Ketsu, and Wolf.
So my dude's here.
They go back to Lothal, because of course they do.
Yeah.
Ezra receives a vision from that Thrawn is returning from Coruscant, meaning that they need to enact their plan to seize the capital right away. At the capital, Price is secretly contacted by Ryder, who's a dickhead still, who offers to betray the rebels in order to keep his own safety. Price and Rook lead... That's Clancy Brown. Price and Rook lead an assault on the rebel base while Hera attempts to return with reinforcements, but first must slip past the Imperial blockade. The Imperials quickly gain the upper hand and return to the rebels. Oh my god, they capture the rebels. I keep seeing Ryder as return. But Ryder reveals, too many R's, that his betrayal was merely a lure. He's not a bad guy lure Price out of the capital. Hera then arrives with the ghost and her reinforcements while Ezra summons the Lothwolves to aid them in battle because dogs can help against guns.
Yeah.
The Imperials are swiftly defeated and Price is captured, but Ezra reminds everybody that the battle has just begun.
And then we come into episodes 15 and 16, Family Reunion and Farewell.
Bum, bum, bum.
So with Price as their prisoner, the rebels force her to give them the clearance code to infiltrate the Imperial Command Center at the capital.
First she's like, no, and then she's like, sure.
I don't do it. They're like, what if we were like savage and killed you? And she was like, fine.
She was like, that makes sense, actually.
That low-key, you guys are I
think they go, what would Thrawn say if we captured you? Would he let you live? And she was like, probably not, so...
You want to be a rebel?
Would Thrawn believe that you didn't give up the codes? Ooh, probably not, so I'll give you the codes.
We'll cut down on your prison time, we promise.
Yeah.
So they seize the control room and plan to issue an evacuation order for all Imperial forces to return to the command center, then launch it into space to self-destruct. Rook overhears the plan and warns Thrawn, who tasks him with disabling the planetary shields. Kallus issues the evacuation order and all Imperial forces enter the command center, but before they can launch, Thrawn arrives in position to Star Destroyer directly above the one... Once Rook disables the shield generators, Thrawn orders the rebels to surrender or he will bombard the city. Ezra decides to surrender to stall Thrawn while the rest of the rebels move to reactivate the shields. Thrawn puts Ezra in contact with the hologram of the Emperor. Meanwhile, yes. Mart realizes the plan's in trouble. Marty! And takes the ghost to enact a backup plan Ezra had given him by sending a signal over frequency zero to summon help.
That summons everybody.
Just gotta do it. As the rebels fight their way to the shield generator, the Emperor tries to tempt Ezra with a promise to revive his parents. Ezra refuses the Emperor's deal and escapes custody. He shows up all, like, sheaved out, too. He's not, like, crusty. Yeah. He's like, I'm just a nice senator.
Well, he's trying to show up looking all hot and sexy for Ezra, so he's like, oh, he's not a crusty old evil guy? And then he's like, just kidding!
What if I actually am? Yeah. I was just wearing force makeup. Mm-hmm. While the rebels are able to raise the shield before Thrawn can commence bombardment of the city, Zeb is able to trap Rook inside the generator as it activates, killing him.
I totally forgot Gregor dies.
Yeah, this is big sucks.
Gregor is mortally wounded in the fight and dies.
Yeah, and they all take a moment to like mourn Gregor, too.
It's Gregor's really like dope as hell.
We love Gregor. Ezra fights his way to Thrawn and reveals that he arranged Mark to call the Pergil, who arrive and destroy Thrawn's fleet. Then the Pergil then grab Thrawn's flagship.
They're the big whales.
Yeah, the big hyperspace whales. And they prepare to drag it into hyperspace. Despite pleas from his friends, Ezra decides to stay on the ship and make sure Thrawn is defeated for good.
This is Captain America, the First Avenger.
Away. It is. With Thrawn's fleet gone, the rebels proceed to with the plan to launch and destroy the command center. Price chooses to stay and go down with it rather than remain a prisoner of the rebels. Stupid. Upon witnessing the destruction of the command center, the people of Lothal celebrate, and Hera is confident they will be able to resist any Imperial attempts to recapture the planet.
5 years later, Hera's kid is 5 years old. Thanks to the 5 years later, thanks to the Rebels Alliance's victory at the Battle of Endor, which both Hera and Rex took part in, because Rex is there. Shut up. The feared Imperial counterattack on Lothal never comes, and the Ghost crew go their separate ways. Zeb takes Kallus, his boyfriend, to meet his family. That's literally what happened.
Pretty much.
They go because Kallus was. We know from the other stuff that Kallus was basically. What killed a bunch of the
He says he killed all the Lasat. Yeah, he's the one who led that operation. Yeah.
So he's like repenting for his sins at the corndog cart.
Low-key, he really is.
And then he is welcome there as one of them.
And he gets to see that they're not all actually dead. And then that's probably a big thing off his conscience. Like, oh, so I didn't kill all of you, just the majority. Like,
I just killed a lot of you.
That would still be terrible.
He says he didn't want to do it, but he was forced to or something like that.
Yeah, okay.
When they're cuddling in the...
whatever, yeah, when they're cuddling.
When they're cuddling.
In the ice planet.
Yeah. Hera and Rex continued to fight with the Rebel Alliance, and it was revealed that Hera gave birth to her and Kanan's son, Jason Syndulla. Why
not?
Why not call him Caleb or Kanan? Because Kanan wasn't his name.
It wasn't even his name, yeah.
Call him Kanan. Or call him Caleb to honor his father.
Call him Jason.
Jason? Is it like a Rebels? Not a Rebels thing. Is it like a Dark Horse, like, expanded universe thing? The name Jason?
She's a Batman fan, and she didn't want to spell it the same way.
J-E-C-E-N, then Syndulla. Why not Doom, whatever?
Doom Syndulla.
Jason Doom. Yeah, hyphenate, baby. Satine teams up with Ahsoka to search for Ezra, but then she just leaves because we see her in Rebels. Mandalorian, she's not there. Leaving behind a mural of Lothal depicting the gross crew.
The gross crew.
The ghost crew.
Ooh.
It ended pretty well.
The gross is loose.
The gross is loose. I think Rebels actually had one of the better endings of one of the Star Wars shows, because Clone Wars ended on a yikes note because of how they had to do it. Season 6 ended okay, but then you lead into Episode 3 and you're like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's had a good ending.
Yeah, I mean,
and obviously the characters show up more.
It's definitely one of the better episodes, too, because this entire time we've been waiting for this whole thing with Thrawn to come to a head. We were wondering if he was going to die or whatever.
Yeah.
It's also cool to see just a little bit of closure post Return of the Jedi.
Most of these characters.
And it did ultimately set up for the Ahsoka show and some other stuff that we could have seen.
We could easily see Zeb in live action as well if they decide to go to
Leera
San. And they see Kallus in live action too.
I'd love to see them do a live action Zeb. That would be really cool, actually.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a sick...
Because you can still get...
either practical or CG.
I think it was Steve Blum.
I'm not sure. Steve Blum. Entirely.
It was either him or it was D. Bradley Baker again. Because they do everything. I would love to see him come back and just be like voice like a Wookiee character.
Yeah, anything.
And then Kallus could easily be Joel McHale. I don't know why I thought of that, but I think
Joel McHale. He'd be a great Kallus.
Joel McHale would be great.
He would be really good for it.
He'd be so good.
I could see
it. He only needs to show up in one episode. Just have Joel McHale be canon in Star Wars now.
I'm all for it. That's like when they put Bill Burr in. Just so that we have people in Star Wars.
Yeah,
they're not even aliens. They just are.
Because honestly, besides Carl Weathers, obviously, Bill Burr is the only other, like, Rosario Dawson's wearing makeup. The only other recognizable character, the actor in Star Wars is Bill Burr. Because he's, like, just himself, but in Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else is a weird alien or character actors. Like, the guy who plays...
or someone we already know.
Yeah, or someone we already know, like Luke and, you know, Pedro Pascal, we didn't really know too much about. He was a big narc. He was in Narcos. That was made him really popular.
Mm.
But I don't really know who Pedro was until after. And then
I knew him from... he was the bad guy in the second Kingsman movie.
Yeah, yeah, but I didn't know
that's how I knew him.
Yeah, but that wasn't like...
No, it wasn't huge. A huge role at all.
He wasn't even big. He was just a bad guy right at the end.
And I was like, only look, because there he of, is. What's and then the other movie that I saw him in was Wonder Woman.
Yeah. So Pedro Pascal really didn't do much besides that. I mean, he did a lot. Okay, that was mean. I'm not trying to shit on his career. He's great. But, you know, having these character actors show up.
Not a lot of things we've seen.
Yeah, having these character actors show up, like Clancy Brown. Like, okay, cool, Clancy Brown's in it. But he's also been in every single piece of Star Wars media because he loves Star Wars.
Yeah, but he's like a gigantic voice actor, yeah, too. He's exactly. not always someone that you're going to see his face on exactly. camera. And the fact that they put him in and they covered him in red, that was yeah. really cool. Because you yeah. don't even, like, pick him out
and
at
then
first.
The, like, isn't that him? The robot, who's like, I think his name's like 02 or something. He's actually a British comedian
mm-hmm.
from the It crew. The IT crew of the show.
Yeah,
IT
that
crowd,
guy too.
Sorry, the It crowd.
That guy's
yeah,
funny.
He's great. He was in the Neighborhood Watch. He's the
that movie's
he's,
whack, he's the black dude. Guy. That movie's so whack.
I don't want to spoil it, but it's so good.
Yeah. The sex party across the street.
Dude, it's so good.
This is a Star Wars podcast.
You can go watch The Watch.
There's no rules in space.
There are no underwear in space either, apparently.
We win.
Yeah.
We so it was Rebels. What did you think of it as a whole?
Oh, we were talking about celebrities real quick.
Yeah, I know. And we're still talking about
yeah.
it? Oh, okay.
Because, like, you know, character actors like Christopher Lee, it's like he's a character actor. You see him and stuff, and you're like, oh, okay, there he is. But then you see characters like Bill Burr, and you see Carl Weathers, and you're like, these are legit actors showing up in Star Wars? It's crazy. So having Joel McHale...
It'd be like if The Rock showed up in Star Wars.
The Rock, exactly. Rosario Dawson, if she wasn't in the makeup, she's unrecognizable.
Fucking Robert Downey Jr. in Star Wars. Dude,
people wanted him to... Jon Hamm. People want Jon Hamm to be Thrawn, because he looks like him, but mm-hmm. he's not Swedish, so it'd be weird. I think they're just getting Mikkelsen to do it.
Thrawn doesn't even speak with a Swedish accent. He just...
He does,
apparently. Speak the way that that's Lars Mikkelsen speaks.
Because that's how Swedish people sound when they have American... when they speak English.
Wow.
They're not like, hey, I'm Swedish, what's going on?
Yeah, no.
It's not stereotypical.
I wouldn't have even gone that far, but yeah. okay.
No, that's okay. That's what people think they sound like. They just sound like Galen Erso. They sound like Mads Mikkelsen.
Galen Erso was a boss.
He was,
Galen
man.
Show.
That,
Galen Marek Show.
I'd watch it. Galen Marek, that'd be great, too. So, yeah, back to Rebels. Sorry for the tangents.
Yeah, just talk about your character actors.
Back to Rebels, man. I'm really... I did the show a lot. At first, I thought it was gonna like a kid's show, and I refused to watch it for the longest time. And then the first two seasons... I mean, the first season was a little rocky, but the latter half was good. And season two was just awesome. 3 and 4, there were only a handful of really good episodes. Otherwise, it was just, let's go back to Lothal and blow something up. So, it does get a little samey after a while.
Mm-hmm.
But there are essential episodes you can watch and still get a lot of fun out of. And if any of these characters do show up in extended media, like we know Sabine is supposed to show up. We don't know who's going to play them, but we know Sabine is supposed to show up in the Ahsoka show. Because mm-hmm. she's teaming up with...
I mean, we can hope anyway.
Well, it would make sense.
Mm-hmm. We'd she's be like, gonna, where is she?
Because we saw Bo-Katan and we saw... Ahsoka. Sasha Banks was rumored to be Sabine.
That's what we all thought.
Because it was revealed that she was going to be in the same episode as Bo-Katan, and then they were all looking for Ezra, but it turns out she played Cosco Reeves instead, mm-hmm. who was just another Mandalorian, which is still cool.
Yeah.
It just sucks that, you know...
Is that the guy, or is that what
Cosco Reeves is her
that's
name.
That's the girl? Okay.
The guy's name is...
See, like, I don't even know the other Mandalorian.
The guy's name is, like, something Wolf or something.
Something Wolf.
Like, Wolf something.
I gotta
it's something
it
really
now.
Weird. So, yeah, what'd you think of Rebels overall? I know you haven't got through your third rewatch or your 1.5 rewatch.
I think that there is a lot of cool, let's see here. Yeah, she was Axe Woves.
Axe Woves, that's his name. Stupid. It's a weird name.
I think there's a lot of cool concepts in Rebels. There's a lot of funny little moments and
oh,
things
yeah,
that feel very Star Wars-y. But, like, that episode with Mon Mothma, that I watched it last night, and I was like, this episode's just boring.
Yeah, it just has a legacy character in it. Like, in episode 3 of Rebels, where it was like, here's R2-D2 and C-3PO, because they're in it.
Mm.
It's just like, why? It's not necessary.
I think a lot of what I like about Star Wars mm-hmm. is mostly, like, the Clone Wars era stuff.
And also
so to have an
like
entire
relevant.
Show based, like, about the Rebels and the Rebellion and building up the Rebellion. My favorite episodes are the things when Ahsoka's around, when Darth Vader's around, when Darth Maul's around, when it's
those
tying
are also
in
the best
to the older things yeah. and the things that I want to see.
The Mandalorians.
You know? I like the relationship between Ezra and Kanan. Mm-hmm. I think that the show should have been about them. More so than it should have been about the Ghost crew
the
as a whole,
yeah.
you know? I think that would have made for a lot more interesting show to have a Jedi post-Order 66 yeah. who never completed his training. What's it like for him to now train
to be a master?
The next generation yeah. of Jedi when he's not even fully there himself?
Yeah.
And we got a lot of little moments of that and aspects of it, but I think you could have really gone into more about yeah. the Force and the Jedi temples and stuff and mm-hmm. running away from the Empire and what that means as a Jedi
yeah.
and not just a rebel, because... You know, as rebels, of course they're being hunted by the Imperials because they're part of the Rebellion.
Yeah.
But what about just the fact that they are Jedi and mm-hmm. that alone is enough for them to be looking over their shoulders every day?
Yeah.
You know, especially when I think a more interesting Rebels show might have been like Han Solo post episode 4, yeah. Right? Wouldn't that have been interesting? The tales of Captain Solo?
Yeah, before he shows up in 5.
I think that would have made for a really cool show. Mm. A show where we're in the middle of the throes of the rebellion. But I get what they were going for. They wanted to establish it. And now we have an established story of what happened. It's just not my favorite thing to watch.
I can't wait till I make you watch Resistance.
I can wait for it. I can wait for it so long. For so many days. For so many weeks, months, and years. I can wait.
Fuck no.
We're going to cover so many other things before that. Hopefully, I can imagine.
Yeah, the Lego Freemaker saga, because that's next.
That I would actually be interested to look at.
This is the Lego stuff. It's just so funny.
It's cutesy, and it's funny. It's that's what it is.
It's actually got some really goofy. It's got really cool moments in it. I'm not going to lie. It's very stupid, and it does have Chad Palpatine in it. Where he's like, I'm fucking Palpatine.
I love Chad Palpatine.
It's got Palpatine in it, but it has got like it's got a couple cool lightsaber fights, and it's got cool lore stuff that isn't really canon, but is.
Mm-hmm.
I actually honestly like Lego Freemakers a lot,
to say my favorite parts about Star Wars are like the Jedi-centric and Sith-centric things.
No, for sure.
You know, I love the clones just because of how much time we had to spend with them. This just felt like, here's a random Rebel squad that we're going to focus in on. They're all cool in their own way, but you really care about Ezra and Kanan and what they're doing.
Yeah, I can't wait for a rewatch when I eventually rewatch Rebels, but I'm only going to watch the stuff that matters. I'm going to skip, like, Zeb and Ezra learn to be friends. I'm skipping that one.
Yeah, I was hoping, because there was a lot of speculation about those episodes. I remember seeing it online and stuff when Maul was talking about Ezra being his apprentice. Yeah. There was a lot of speculation if there was going to be like a season of Ezra and Maul together. I was like, that would have been really cool. Because then you could have had Ezra train with Maul, and then maybe Maul betrays him at the end or something, and then he goes back to his friends, right? It's like, now I've had this training with the Sith Lord, and that's it.
Yeah. But we don't get anything really...
No, we don't really get anything super cool like that. The World Between Worlds is cool.
Because it was also
cool,
kind of a kid's show.
But it's kind of a throwaway mechanic, because it's also like a let's break the universe
mechanic. They literally
did
it in 2 episodes and went, okay, let's destroy it now.
It's too universe-breaking. That's why. You use that again,
they literally
right?
just did it to save Ahsoka.
Yeah, like, what do you do with that another time? Mm. You could change the entire history of the Clone War with that.
They keep Plo Koon alive.
And bring him in at the end of The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
I got you. It was Dave's favorite.
I wouldn't be surprised if Plo Koon somehow comes back, and if they explain it that the World Between Worlds is how they saved him. As he got blown up out of the ship, they took him, he's just been vibing with Ahsoka the whole time, able to avoid any confrontation, so he's not...
Just wait for the leaks to come out about Mando Season 3 when the clone of Plo Koon is going
around. Dude, come on, dude. He's so cool.
I mean, I don't really have much more to say about Rebels.
No, I feel like we talked about it a lot in the first one, and then this one we've been talking about, especially when me and Courtney were doing the watch.
Mm.
It's just a lot of nonsense that is unnecessary, but then a lot of really, really, really good storylines. There's a lot of good ones. It just sucks that we have to have so much stupid filler.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I
said...
Like
Lando with space pigs
that
can smell minerals.
I might do the one just because Lando's in it. But when I do my rewatch, I'm only going to do the guest appearances and the...
Maul stuff.
And the Maul, the finales, the
Mandalorian
Ahsoka
stuff.
Yeah. I'm not doing any, like... We're just... Chopper is acting like a bad guy for some reason. What's going on? Like, I'm not...
Zeb and Kallus have one romantic night of passion on an ice planet.
Gonna skip that one unless they show up and they're dating.
And it shows up in their date. The first actual gay characters in Star Wars.
Zeb and Kallus.
Zeb and Kallus.
That'd be awesome.
I mean, low-key, they are.
I think, technically, they would be.
Probably. Because I think episode 9 was, like, the first one to actually show gay characters, and they were in the back.
Yeah.
They're like, what
besides
if
the comics.
They're like, what if they were gay in the back?
Besides the comics.
I'm like, yeah,
so let's bring, let's have
back.
Zeb
sure.
and Kallus make out in front of us.
And they get a whole music video and Lil Nas is in it.
What if Lil Nas is...
is Zeb?
Not Zeb specifically.
Kallus? Live action Kallus?
I want Lil Nas to be in Star Wars so bad.
That'd be awesome.
I think he would make a great, like, one-off bounty hunter character.
Dude, he could run a nightclub in a Coruscant's underworld.
Yeah, that's it. Just show up.
Welcome to Montero.
Dude, oh my god, make Montero canon. He's sick. Well, he's showing up in a Disney product soon. He's showing up in the Louder and Prouder Proud Family reboot.
Dude, he's allowed to be in Disney?
Yeah.
They want him?
Yes. He's like one of the top billboard guest stars.
The guy who put out the billboards that say, are you gay? You may be entitled to financial compensation.
Yes.
I love that.
And they released the guest star script. guest star casting for Louder and Prouder. Okay. And Lil Nas X is like the third build. So he's now in a Disney property, and he could easily show up in Star Wars
or Marvel. I get the thing.
Because apparently he survived the snap in Marvel, because they're singing Old Town Road in Shang-Chi,
and he made
it in 2019, so he survived.
He made it, and he needed something that would give everybody some kind of happiness. He's like, me and Billy Ray are going to slay this track.
So Billy Ray also survived the snap.
I bet Miley did not survive the snap, and that's why in that universe he agreed to make Old Town Road. He's like, I need some money, because I've been in a depression, and I need to get out of here.
That's fucked.
Look, we're just writing fan fiction out here.
The Lil Nas X could easily show up in Star Wars and or Marvel, and it would be awesome.
Yeah.
Make it happen. Star Wars would be great.
Montero canon Star Wars.
Just have him be a voice or something. We'll see.
I'd be all about it. So this Louder and Prouder thing, what is it? It's just a reboot of Proud Family, but live action?
No. God, no. It's
animated again? Yeah. Okay.
Live action Proud Family would just be my wife and kids. It's literally what it is. It's just my wife and kids.
It's like one of those Madea's movies.
Yeah. But I think Tyler Perry's on the guest list, too.
Tyler Perry's big movie filled with the star-studded black cast, and everybody's going to love it.
I think Snoop Dogg's going to be in it. But, the Proud Family is just supposed to be a continuation. I think it's supposed to be either direct continuation or, like, 10 years later. I forget exactly what it's supposed to be about.
I mean, I never really watched the Proud Family. They got everybody coming back.
I watched it when it was on in the morning. I would just put it on.
If this is going to be, like, a reboot, I might watch it, though. I'm looking for really anything that's good to watch.
It's just a sitcom. That's a cartoon sitcom, basically. It's like I said, it's My Wife and Kids, but for kids on Disney.
I like My Wife and Kids. That was good.
It was great.
That was a good show.
Yeah. It's on Disney Plus right now. Go check it out. Not my Wife and Kids.
Next week on this podcast, we're going to be talking about My Wife and Kids.
I think My Wife and Kids might be on HBO or Hulu.
I don't know where it is.
But either way, go watch.
I can tell you where you can watch Star Wars.
Disney Plus. And also, listen to us talk about it here.
That's all you want to
find. Galaxy. I gotta find my notes to close the show because I never remember the script.
I mean, that works as an ending.
Thank you for listening. You can follow the podcast at Farthest Galaxy on Instagram. Keep up to date with the episodes as they release and what we will be covering. You can follow me, Hunter, at Scruffy Moose Man, and Alex, at the Dude Kenobi. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share with a friend.
Credits plus.
May the Force be with you.
Plus.
Plus.
There you go, CJ. That's for you.